where we are met with cynicism and doubt, and those who tell us that we can't, we will respond with that timeless creed that sums up the spirit of a people. Yes, we can. Yes, 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 it's time. We are coming together.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome to the Galactic Roundtable. I'm so happy to have you here this Sunday. Thank you for joining us. Marita will be here later, and Tara and Rama are here, too.
Greetings.
Aloha.
Greetings. I think maybe we should start with the hard news, and if anyone has anything to share with us, please call.
The number is 415-762-1161. Holy crapola, Batman.
Oh, come on.
raw.
I'll just say what's going on across this planet has everything to do with change, like you just heard the man say. And all of this has to do with, as we have moved into a new frequency, a new leaf, if you will, new turning of the page with this lunar eclipse and full moon. And I got to hear some interesting news today that hasn't been heard. You could say it was out there on shortwave. Mr. Stephen Harper from Canada condemned Israel for the Gaza blockade, which is amazing. I don't know what to make of that at all. And I spoke with Larry, Curly, and Moe this morning. And along with the King of Swords, they are dogging the Syrian commander as he is at the G20, G8 meetings. And everybody there is condemning, they're coming down hard on Iran and North Korea concerning the issues along with the Gaza blockade. All of this has to do with the fake dog and pony show that goes back to the morning of 9/11. And all these different pieces of this, there is all kinds of stories going on where Mitch McConnell is digging up so-called dirt on Elena Kagan that is tied in where you could say that her greatest hero is this judge in Israel who's a activist judge on the extreme right who is a personal friend of Mr. Scalia, which is kind of bizarre. This was brought up today on shortwave radio, and how Mitch McConnell, as early as Friday, was on the Senate floor bad-mouthing Elena Kagan, saying that she is not worthy to take the Supreme Court justice position.
Because all of a sudden we might all become Shias?
and that's not, in a sense, a negative thing. What is going on is the true story, her story
of true understanding,
and his story is about peace. This is what that song talks about, Road Singer by Yusuf Islam, formerly known as Cat Stevens. There has been a great misunderstanding, misinformation going on since 9/11 about the Islamic world. And like many of our whistleblowers have told us, they got an agenda and they are playing it out. And the next step is they want to blame it on the ETs and have a fake alien invasion. That's the next step after the so-called fake Islamic, you know, let's wipe out the Islamics out of the world. The next step is to, you know, say E.T. is, you know, gonna come in and decimate the planet. It's all over and done with. And these guys literally have nothing except the fake clothes they are wearing. The emperors are very naked. Let's love them even more in this time. And this was kind of interesting. I was hearing this conversation that was going on Radio Lab, which was either NPR or PRI, courtesy of shortwave radio. And what they were talking about is this scientific principle, a quantum physics principle, where at any given point within the universe, you can experience all points of the universe at that one given point, and any sort of timeline. Like, they showed an episode of this once in Star Trek Next Generation, where it was a very critical point, and Picard and Riker were on the bridge, and all these other various Enterprises showed up throughout the, you know, view screen, and they were all going through a various situation in terms of all the different sectors of the universe meeting in one sector. And what these folks were talking about was how right now, this one particular sector, this point in the universe, is being converged upon by all the other sectors, and it is increasing a frequency, a magnitude, that is making this one particular point in the universe so overwhelming, in a sense, with the frequencies coming in of the photonic light, that it is affecting all matter. And how this relates to 3D, Elena Kagan, and all the other issues is this is increasing the frequency on the planet, speeding up everybody's consciousness to full consciousness, as that is an issue, and your problems going on with ever, whatever, in the bodies, the Adam Kadmon, if your issues of trauma and anything else that is not of a centered place within the heart, it is all being brought up to be healed right here, right now. And it's going to get even more. This is why Mother is saying, I like it hot in the kitchen, and it's about to be served. This is the biggest story. All of this ties in with what is going on with the G20, G8 meetings, of how the increase in frequencies is affecting all matter, all life. Larry Curley and Moe said it's possible Mr. Dick Cheney may leave in this weekend. We don't know. He's still in the hospital, yet we don't know if he's leaving.
Well, he seems to have a million lifetimes. He just keeps getting in and out and all around the
right
body.
Right, yeah.
They've had so many clones of him, they can't even count them anymore.
Well, there's been talk of lining up the priests for last rites. That's what was
lining
said.
Lining up the priest?
Priests.
Priests?
Yes.
Well, priests? Priests?
For last rites on a clone?
However, they're not speaking of him as a clone.
Since it's equal to killing a human being as killing a clone, that means they have equal rights, and that is the case, because
yeah,
there is still essence of the DNA and the soul in there.
That's right.
That's right. That's very different from a complete hologram.
Right.
Complete hologram is completely programmed. Complete. The essence of the soul is bye-bye.
And there, this was on shortwave radio, and I asked King of Swords and Larry Curley and Moe, is Dick Cheney leaving the planet this weekend with this lunar eclipse full moon? And he said, I can neither confirm nor divide.
Uh-oh, that's dangerous when they say that.
And I would just say, love these ones even more, because we are in the final few seconds where all the truth comes out about 9/11 and everything else. This is, you know, this is why we have to focus. I mean, it's imperative to focus on love through this eclipse and these,
yeah,
you know, 3 days after, 3 days before. The eclipse was yesterday, early morning, and we are already starting to feel the effects of this, how it is affecting the talk and the walk of these folks.
Mm.
I mean, I heard Angelica Merkel literally condemn Israel. I mean, this lady was going on like Mr. Prime Minister.
She's a double agent, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, this lady was, oh my God, you know, if whatever's being said over there
whatever spurred her to start talking like that.
Yeah. And at the same time, yes, I understand Chris Story is, you know, cursing Obama and the ground he walks on. And Chris Story should be so lucky that he is still in a place where he can report the news.
In other words, he shouldn't be in a body practically at this point.
He is part of the problem called corporate greed that are repeat felons at the highest level, along with Leo Wanta and the Mitterrand story. And you could just say Mr. Putin hasn't forgotten about Mr. Mitterrand or Mr. Chris Story. Do not mess with Mr. Putin. It would be better to be on his good side than his other side. That's what I got to say on the story, per the King of Swords. He has a relationship with Mr. Putin, and I won't go into it, yet I'll just say Mr. Putin will come out smelling like a rose. And it is an interesting story. Mother Russia is not done with this, and it has to do with the healing between the bear and the eagle, and the dragon comes back to wholeness. This is why the white dragon stepping in along with the golden dragon, and this brings all of the societies back into balance, where these are the original descendants of the Pleiadians, the Lyrans, the Vagans, the Andromedans, and we all chose to come in and get as deep into the muck as we could go, and then rise to the occasion. And it's happening right now. And I would just say Elena Kagan is a key issue that is about to be brought up here, which is a touchy subject, and it has to do with the fact our Supreme Court got usurped by Mr. John Roberts, Mr. Alito, all the other characters who represent the radical fringe of the lunatic right. That this goes back to the Reagan era and the corporate greed, where they took out all of the rights, the treaties, the tariffs, the way people do business, and they put in what, you know, Tom Hartman always talks about, you know, the nine, you know, the words, we're here from the government and we're here to help. And it is at the place where we have to roll back the Reagan tax cuts, put these people in prison for economic high treason, along with the war crimes that have gone on from since 1979 till now. This means Ollie North and everybody else connected with Ronald Reagan, they are intergalactic as well as international war crime individuals. This is corporate greed at the highest level. And this is why the transnational military-industrial congressional complex is going down right now. This is what Larry, Curley, and Moe were bringing up, along with this little story as we were listening to this radio lab talking about the all points in the universe are lining up with this point right now. This is huge, because it is affecting all matter, how we affect our thoughts, how we bring love in instead of hate or war or death. And I pass the talking stick. I also want to just say, please hit the $5 button and the larger button as you can.
We have 500 now. So we need 400 more for the rent, which has to be done by the 1st, along with $80 for the storage. And, of course, food and things. So please help everyone. Thank you so much. And as you could email us at Koran999, K-O-R-A-N, 999 at Comcast.net. And those of you who have the ability to go out and do a postal money order, as you could, that would be the best. And everybody who's still used to sending anything like a check, please don't do that, because until we're on the other side of Nisara, we're outside of the banking system. So the post office
is still
the best way. And
yes.
So I hope you can do that. Okay, and put it in the name of Ram, R-A-M.
B
as in David Berkowitz, B as in boy, E-R-K-O-W-I-T-Z, 2442 Cerrillos Road, C-E-R-R-I-L-L-O-S, Road, number 385, Santa Fe, New Mexico, 87505. And as you can send anything a little quicker, I think today's the 26th, yes, no, today's the 27th. So, let's see, 30 days has September, April, June. So, 8, 9, so the 1st is Thursday. Okay, just put it all there. Okay, and you can leave us a message at area code 505-983-0477. Okay.
All right, we have a caller. Earl, how are you?
Hi. I have found out on CNN that Senator Byrd is ill in the hospital.
Uh-oh.
They don't want him to talk, Earl, and it's about his KKK experiences and everything else having to do with the issues going on from 9/11 till now. That's why they want him gone. Let's pray for this man. He is a brave whistleblower. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is he the senator from Missouri?
I don't remember where Robert Byrd is from. I have to quickly look on Google.
Unless you, Earl.
Somebody's faster than me could tell me.
I may be.
I know you are.
And speaking about yesterday in the eclipse, I noticed I really felt different yesterday. I was looking at the sky and I just felt, you know what? Everything's going to be okay.
That's right.
That is correct. The biggest issue is getting past what they want to put out, which is the fear card, which is so bad that, you know, there was an issue that Rachel Meadows brought up where it is not raining oil. And there are stories that...
No, it's not raining oil, although there's a whole bunch of other particulates
that are in...
that are raining on the people.
Yeah, along with chemtrails and everything else they put in the atmosphere, which we don't even want to go to.
Oil doesn't evaporate and then rain back. Doesn't go into the clouds. No, no, no.
And you all know probably about Carnicom.com you know... Dennis Kucinich will have to come forward and talk about this at the right moment, along with all the other senators and congressmen who know all about the exotic weapons that are being tested. Aerial aerosol sprays is what it is called by our friend Clifford Carnicom, along with everything else in the atmosphere. And what they're not talking about is the elements in the air, the sylphs, the fire, and, you know, air. I forgot the name of the elementals of the air. I know the sylphs are the fire element, the undines are the water. I forgot what the name of the element of the air are. I'm just saying that they're all in present time, bringing it into full balance.
Divine Sky tells it all, everyone.
That's
beautiful
right.
Beautiful book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll pass the rainbow talking stick.
Thank you, Earl.
Thank you, Earl.
Okay, let's see. What do we want to do now? Do you want me to start talking here, Lady Master?
Oh, Beth has to be called on the phone. Her connection isn't working, Seth or Don.
Oh, Don, it's not that. Okay. Lady Master floated away, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I can report a little bit from this morning's call. The Moorish call, that was really an interesting call, to say the least. Let me see. This morning, Brother Mel Friel, he spoke about the sign of Cancer. As it appears for most people that we are in Cancer, yet we're not quite in Cancer. In the True Zodiac, which is another interesting piece, let's just go back there and look. We're in Gemini from June 20th through July 20th. And Cancer begins on the 21st of July in the real zodiac, in the real transfer of the energy. Also, what Lord Jamal, you got to go down there and get that phone and take it off. You got to go downstairs and take it off. Bring that one up here. Sorry, everybody. There we go. Okay. He was saying, of course, and we know this, that the Declaration of Independence, the one that's up there is trash. It's not the real Declaration of Independence. And although we assume that we do not have a Declaration of Independence nor a Constitution, as was said this morning, although Goddess Forestine made it clear that we do have a Constitution, although it was never implemented in its true form, it was housed inside a corporate structure in 1789, even though it was created in 1787. So we have that document. On top of that, we have this material in the Bruton vault, and that makes another distinct impression as we, let's just read this. In the Secret Destiny of America, Manly P. Palmer Hall wrote that, quote, there exists in the world today and has existed for thousands of years a body of enlightened human beings united in what might be termed an order of the quest. It is composed of those whose intellectual and spiritual perceptions have revealed to them that civilization has a secret destiny. Okay, then you can keep it there.
Beth, you're going to, I'm not sure if you are on there or, I'm sorry.
Okay, so you can write. You can write there.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll wait for Beth to get on. Okay, I'll continue. It is composed of those whose intellectual and spiritual perceptions have revealed to them that civilization has a secret destiny. and Manly P. Hall revealed, not only were the founders of the United States government Masons, yet they received aid from a secret and an august body existing in Europe, which helped them to establish this country for a peculiar and particular purpose, known only to the initiated few. It is to this group of men, free Masons, our forefathers, founding fathers, and remember all the Moabite, Washita, and all the Moorish people who understood its highest principles, they were all Freemasons. Mm-hmm. So that's what we can see. That's a gap that we can close by realizing that the true original Free Masonic law is, and what was written by Sir Francis Bacon, Saint Germain, one of those enlightened human beings. Primary. Okay. So, it is this group, the Freemasons, who were to perpetuate the vision of Francis Bacon. It should be pointed out here that Masonry was not always as it appears today. Many early Christian patriots during the foundational period of American history were part of the predominant York Rite, which promoted values, ethics, and brotherhood among its members. It has been reported that the true Freemasonry lodges were established in the cellars of the Episcopalian and the Presbyterian churches. While there is not the space here to discuss a comparison, it is a well-known fact that the Illuminati did infiltrate Masonry, the American fraternal lodges of Masonry, after 1776 to take them over from within. Therein lays the Rockefeller interest in securing the contents of the vault. And when we went to the Bruton Vaults, when we went to Williamsburg, Virginia, to visit there and go to the Bruton Parish, there was two huge plaques on the wall with all the Rockefellers and all their corporate attached entities. A list a million miles long. Talk about oil emirates. Woohoo! Okay, therein lays the Rockefeller interest in securing the contents of this vault, possibly because it contains the basis of a godly-based government that our founding forefathers truly intended for our country, as opposed to the godless society that the New World Order has been pursuing in the process of establishing one world government. Hall wrote that, quote, Bacon made sure that the American colonies were thoroughly immersed with the principles of religious tolerance, political democracy. Now, Lord Jamal, Brother Saladin was saying that, I think Jamal did too, that democracy, no, leave it there so you can pour it again.
I should go fill it.
Yeah, okay. That democracy has never been the fundamental foundation of, you might say, the spiritual constitution, the spirit of a people, the constituents. Constitution is the name that replaced the three words, remember, we the people. So we the people and the Constitution needs to represent the true spirit of humanity, the true spirit of which we were created and co-created together, the form, so that we could be here and spirit inside these forms to help to lift us up from the downward spiral over time, from 100th density to third dimension, from 1/100th density to 3D. So we are evolving in reverse now, back to our original selves. So Bacon made sure that religious tolerance, political democracy, and as Tom Hartman calls this kind of democracy, democratic socialism, which is what Bernie Sanders also says. He says, I'm a social democrat. Democratic socialism or social democrat are quite interchangeable, let's put it that way. Although, the party system, we want to get away from referring to the party system, which is nothing to do with what the founding fathers intended. Believe me. Okay. And social equality. Through carefully appointed representatives, the machinery of democracy was set up at least 100 years before the period of the Revolutionary War. Among researchers who believe in the existence of the Bruton Vaults, it has been commonly accepted that it contains the complete copy of the New Atlantis. Now, as it's been said in many history books, that it was only partially written, and that the I Am Saint Germain sanctuary teachings were the completion of the New Atlantis. Yet here is a complete copy. It was completely finished. And Sir Francis Bacon himself put it in these vaults. Back then, yes ma'am, there was still stellar transport. You didn't have to take a boat either to get over here. You might say, as it says, canoe meaning ship, starship. Canoe means starship. Okay, so the complete copy of the New Atlantis, along with accompanying plans and organizational strategies. It is also believed that the original manuscripts of Bacon's collection of writings will all be found there, along with some that were never published. And because of the notion by some researchers that Bacon was the actual author of all the Shakespearean works, the vault is most likely contains the original manuscripts of all the works of Shakespeare / Sir Francis Bacon. That in itself would be an amazing treasure to retrieve, as there are no surviving copies of the scripts from any plays of the entire Elizabethan era. I'll tell you, they're all down there, everyone. Marie Bauer was told, that's Manly Palmer Hall's wife, Marie Bauer was told that the vault contains Queen Elizabeth's wedding ring, while others say the vault contains the missing crown jewels of Queen Elizabeth I, that Queen Elizabeth, I believe, absolutely, as well as Queen Elizabeth, that's Queen Elizabeth the Moor, everyone. Yeah, the true Moabitess. As well as other significant objects missing from the British court. It is also believed that the vault contains a quantity of gold and silver, documented proof of Bacon's royal lineage as a Tudor, an original edition of the Bacon-edited King James Version of the Bible, which is a corrected version to its true version, which does not include divine right of kings exclusively for only one man who would be the king. Sorry. As well as notes and documentation of the committee's work. Inventions that are way ahead of the times. And a device that will enable their codes to be deciphered. All those inventions down there are for now, everybody. And believe me, that's all anti-gravity technology. Huge. And the device that enables the codes to be deciphered. See, as we get an official resignation from the Red Queen, Elizabeth II, on July 4th, that's been rumored, we've got success that we don't realize. Lord Jamal was indicating that that picture, that famous painting, his name was Trumbull, John Trumbull, and the name John is not supposed to be spelled with an H at all. It's supposed to be Yon, J-O-N. And, of course, with the H inserted, that's a change in the meaning of the word. Anyway, I just wanted to note that because I remember that Mark knew about that, and he spelled his son's name without the H. It's very interesting. Anyway, John was this great... Yes, Beth?
Sorry.
Yes.
I remember hearing that... You know, John, in translated in several different languages, is spelled differently. And then, you know, you can speak about the Hebrew spelling, the Greek spelling, the German spelling, the English spelling. And I thought I heard that the H stands for the ones that were from Attila the Hun, the Oriental group.
Yeah, actually, Lord Jamal mentioned that this morning.
As Johann, it is the insertion of the Hun.
Right. Yes, the Hans. Actually, they're Oriental, see. Mongolians have the high yellow color, and the Mongolians are extremely dark. So they're golden brown black. I mean, very dark. And we're sure learning a lot, aren't we? Okay, so anyway, he's supposedly the great painter of the painting, the signing of the Declaration of Independence. He lived from 1756 to 1843, 87 years. And he painted the painting. Listen to this. He did not paint the painting until 1817, and he was paid for it in 1819 by the corporation. And then he said, let's just look at that painting. You know, they supposedly got Hamilton in there, and Ben Franklin, and Thomas Jefferson, and John Adams, and on and on it goes. And except that there's no people of color, big question mark. Every last one of these people I just mentioned, they had color. They had color. They were not white. As a matter of fact, he said Benjamin Franklin's skin complexion was the color of a cigar. They called him the cigar-complected man. Big Will? No, we didn't even call on Big Will.
He was on there.
Well, you didn't tell me.
I'm sorry.
Okay, well, we should take Big Will then. Big Will, are you still there?
I am here, Kara. Can you hear me?
You're not quite loud enough, though. You're very soft.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I want to say hello to Beth and Marina Roberts and Angel Sue and Tara and Rama. My question is this. As we know that last week, President Obama removed General McChrystal of the military. Now, since we have 1 week without Mr. McChrystal, what is the status and the relationship between President Obama and the military now. I passed the talking stick.
Well, okay, so...
Rama, have you talked to Tom the Cat about this?
Rama's not in the room right now.
This is definitely a Rama question.
I know. Hi, honey.
That's a really good question, Big Will.
Well, that was a big question, and that was a good one, yeah. I don't know if we know the answer, though.
What I've heard Rama say from Tom the Ringtail Cat is that there are many in the Pentagon that are ready to turn their hats around now, and they have been placed in their jobs for years, and they've been working for the King of Swords, but they have been working on the side of the Dark Hats in their decision-making, so they would be in a position now for when it's time, and they are ready to turn their hats around. That's what Tom was reporting last week. And so I see it as part of the elaborate chess game that President Obama is playing as he works towards world peace. And I'm sure that Rama probably has some more updated answer than that, especially since the question pertains to what changes have been made since that move has been made. If you read the Rolling Stones article, which was very long and elaborate, which detailed his entire career, it pointed out that even the soldiers in Afghanistan were not aligned with General McChrystal's plans in Afghanistan. It quoted some of the soldiers who he made a speech to while the reporter who was writing the article was there. And he said that the soldiers were not in alignment with General McChrystal's plan, as it was. And they were just doing their best to hang on and follow his orders as they were. And there was elaborate discussion regarding how when General McChrystal would explain the orders, it sounded like one thing, but as it made its way through the Army, it had twists and turns, and then it got into paperwork, and by the time it came down to the soldiers on the street, it wasn't even what he had said in the first place, and that whole entire Afghanistan operation is a huge mess, and that article is very enlightening. I posted it on the Galactic Roundtable not long ago. Sorry, is Rama back?
He just went downstairs for a quick minute to get...
He's getting some files for today. Okay. Just hold on there for a minute, Big Will.
Yeah, I was also going to say that there is a huge movement that's been going on for a number of years now inside the military, where they have pretty much decided to make a massive move against military at all, being anywhere at all. In other words, these guys are conscious that there is never supposed to be a standing army, and we don't have a declaration of war, and so they know that this is an immoral invasion. And I don't know how big that is, but Rama, when you were telling me about it, you said it was huge, and that was last year.
That's right. It is huge. And I'll just say that Mr. McChrystal, I call him that because he's not a general anymore. He is a war criminal. He planned, along with the other soldiers, Pat Tillman's murder. Premeditated forethought. That is called Murder One.
Okay, now, what difference does it make if Petraeus is in here in terms of the question? Because the question was, what relationship does Barack Obama have to the military now that he got rid of McChrystal? And Beth just said that the military never really was trained nor was behind McChrystal's reinsurgence or counterinsurgence protocol, except for one thing. I understand that Petraeus was the initiator of counterinsurgence, as Bush Jr. wanted it to be, and McChrystal just readopted it in the Bush administration. So I would assume that the carryover of this movement of military, huge, from the time of Bush, has even grown larger now. So I would say that the military relationship to Barack Obama would only change as Barack Obama would align with that group and call our boys home.
This is
E.T.,
the biggest.
Go home.
E.T., go home. Because the story about Iraq and Afghanistan, it goes back to 9/11. And it's not about Osama bin Laden or Al-Qaeda. That was created by the CIA, the NSA, the DIA. I can go on with all the ABCs, and we'll be here till 5 o'clock. I'm just saying that this was all created by our own black ops and blamed it on the Islamic world because there was a shift in the wind. As Mr. Alan Greenspan, you could say there was an invisible gun in the back of his head saying, talk about Nasara, the morning of 9/11. He was ready to do that in front of the world, at the World Trade Towers, and then Darth Vader and his buddies, Mr. Dick Cheney, bless his heart, is sitting in a hospital right now. All of this goes back to this story. Osama bin Laden, Mr. Zarqawi, Mukhtar el-Sadr, who is Iraqi, and his Mahdi army, all of this is part of the fake story that never, ever got told to the people, because 24 hours after 9/11, Black Ops, I don't know the names of these agencies, but the DIA is one of them, and it goes further. And what I want to say is the men in black showed up with non-disclosures to the point of death that everybody in Congress had to sign at gunpoint.
What did they have to sign?
A non-disclosure that if they ever talked about 9/11, they
would. Oh, yeah, that means
that happened the morning. Okay.
The wealthy visionaries as well as all the people in the media, all had to sign that.
The morning after 9/11, they showed up with their guns out, and they pointed their guns at all the members of Congress and said, sign the papers, Schweinhund. And of course, they did. And then people also started turning their hats around immediately. Bernie Sanders is one of them, and bless his heart. He is one of our leaders that is right now standing up to the plate in the face of Vader and all the forces and the Emperor and saying, social democratic republic. Think about those ideas. Incorporate those ideas. Socialism is not a bad thing. Some of the highest minds in Europe are these people who have organizations and understandings about the socialism where they have taken it to an art form, and we can take it to the next step where it's the galactic society. As we need what we need, it is given to us to do our mission, whether it's a day or a millennium. How this ties in with what you're asking and the policy change. Mr. Obama, at the right moment, is being schooled in the ways of the Force through Saint Germain and others. And I will just say, at the right point, he, you know, it's a moot point. He's been groomed for this for 1,000 years or more. He knows the mission, and he will, at his discretion, along with Saint Germain, because Mr. Obama answers to Saint Germain, just like the King of Swords. The spiritual hierarchies, as Sheldon lovingly calls them, that is as far as Sheldon will go. And I don't mean to bring his name up. I am just saying He is only talking about the Syrian command. He doesn't encompass the entire intergalactic confederation of worlds, which includes Ashtar and Sananda. And I make that point strong. The reason being is they are the folks in charge, not the Syrians. And the Syrians have an issue here where they have to heal their stuff with Earth, and it goes back to Atlantis and Lemuria, and this is what's up on the table, where it's not about exclusivity, it's inclusivity. This is an inclusive community where all are aligned with the office of the Christ. Yes.
I would like to underscore what you're saying, because there are a lot of people who buy into everything you're saying, and they also read everything that comes out from that being. And I want to underscore exactly what you're saying. If I understand correctly, Sheldon Nidell does not recognize Galactic Federation or Ashtar. Is that correct?
That is my understanding, yes.
Or Sananda Kumara.
But what I would like to say is that's like going to the Dark Hats in the West Virginia House of Congress and hearing what their idea about the planet Earth is, but not acknowledging that any of the other United States of America or even any of the other 196 countries of the planet even exist, much less the hierarchy that is in charge of all of it. That's what you're doing when you're listening to anything that's written by that one being. And besides that, he purposefully inserts misinformation, disinformation. And so you're hearing the perspective of this tiny state of renegade Syrians, but they are blatantly ignoring that anything else on the in the planets or star systems exists, and telling you that they know all the correct information. And even saying that the commander in charge and the admiral and the captain don't exist. And when you come on the calls and quote them and, you know, say you're reading their newest book, I still am sitting here thinking everyone has free will and love and peace to everyone. And I'm sitting here going, because I'm so sorry that you're looking at such a tiny, tiny, narrow vision of what's out there, especially one who's dark and is inserting misinformation, disinformation besides. Did I get that right, Rama?
Oh, hold on a second, Beth. There was a part of your conversation which was really kind of scratchy.
You started to break up.
And then you started to be clear again. So I don't know if you moved during that conversation, but it did make a big difference. Hello?
Yeah, I didn't move at all, so I don't know if it was me or what it was.
Okay, Beth, one second. Big Will was interjecting here. Big Will?
Hey, Big Will. Hi.
Yes, Beth. I want to say a little bit more about this relationship between the military and Mr. Obama, President
Great.
Obama.
Wait! You're really scratchy too, Big Will. I don't understand what's going on here.
And I have everything correct with my sound here on the upstairs computer.
I can say that I heard Big Will okay.
Okay, well, just go ahead,
okay,
Big Will.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, I want to add a little bit further on this conversation about the military and President Obama. Now, I do understand that he is in Toronto, Canada today, and they're going to wrap up their G20 meeting today. And my concern is this. The military in Canada, they have a very, the military and the police have a very very strong relationship. And my question is this. When the time comes for Mr. Harper and our president decide to say something about disclosure, what is the relationship between Mr. Harper and our military? I pass the talking stick.
I will say that what Mr. Harper and Mr. Obama at this G20 meeting, the issue of ET has been discussed, and Larry Curley and Mo today said that is on the edge of everybody's tongue, and they are extremely worried somebody is going to leak it.
Spill the beans, will ya?
That's right, and it could just be Russia or China, and then the United States will follow suit. It is in a way where Mr. Obama doesn't want to go first, yet he's being pushed to go first.
Well, he's supposed to only go when Saint Germain says go.
That's correct.
It's not about what he wants. He's
yes.
not doing things.
Oh,
see, but Rama, I don't understand what you're saying, because there is no leaking about E.T. We all know about E.T.
Yes, what I'm trying to say, what I am saying is the fact that Mr. Obama answers to Saint Germain, as per does the King of Swords. And when Saint Germain and Nada and the others say, you can talk, then they will talk, and not before.
And I want to make clear, because you gave the wrong impression in terms of what I perceived you said.
Okay.
That he doesn't want to. There's no such thing. Barack Obama is completely aligned with the proper protocol.
Yes.
In every
the point, Larry, yes, I agree.
And that, you got to turn it around and say, certain people think that Barack Obama is just doing something at his whim, or he doesn't want to do this, or he doesn't want to do that. That is in the minds of certain people who do not understand that is never the protocol. Barack Obama is neutral, and he moves exactly at the right time as he is guided. And so we've got to turn that around and just say that this is only a viewpoint of someone else in the peanut gallery who thinks that's what's going on. There is nothing like that going on.
Okay, I would take the talking stick, and I need to say that what Larry Curley and Mo said to me this morning is there's a conversation off the books going on at the G20, G8 meeting where you could say there is a story going on about who's rolling the dice in terms of who's going to talk about E.T. Is it Russia? Is it China? Is it the U.S.? And I'm saying,
maybe it can be all three, and they do it all together now. One, two, three.
See, that is the key that Mr.
Let's
Mo...
Let's start a chorus.
That is the key Mr. Mo brought up, where he said it could be all three, and I am not...
Oh, I wasn't wrong.
No, and he is trying to make the point that I cannot give you answers directly. What I can tell you is this is the biggest story that's there facing these men and women of these countries. It is the answer that can fix the situation in the Gulf, as well as Iraq and Afghanistan and all of the other issues where we take the next step and talk about peace and reparations, reformation. The Reformation Act is the key here. This is what Mo brought up. And everybody knows that Elena Kagan is, interestingly enough, directly linked up with Mr. Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders was one of the underwriting sponsors for the Nasara bill, one of the 14. And he'll never talk about it ever until he is given the word by Saint Germain. How this affects the military big will is Mr. McChrystal is going to be facing Fort Leavenworth and big rocks being turned into little rocks. And General Petraeus, and I call him that because that is what Medea Benjamin called him, where he testified before Congress and lied. And at the same time, about the original issues that were going on when Bush was in office concerning the escalations of the war going on between Fallujah and the other various parts of Iraq. And General Petraeus was part of that in the understanding that what all of this has to do with the fact that as the Bush crime family, and I mean the Bush-Clinton crime family, because this, it's not an easy answer here, Big Will, because it goes back to 9/11. All of this has to do with the obfuscation, like Chris Story uses that word, the covering up of 9/11 and all the other events afterwards to lead up to blaming it on Osama bin Laden and the Iraq War.
And remember, was it what day was that in front of us? Last Monday or Tuesday, or was it Wednesday? One day in the early part of the week, all over the whole morning on the ticker tape, the hot news right at the top was that they found those human remains.
72.
And that they were going to reopen a full investigation of what really happened on 9/11. And I heard that it was going to be international.
Yes, my understanding about that is that it is. And David Ray Griffin,
which has to do with what I understand has been going on, and not only in the Fitzgerald juries and the other one, Franklin juries, there have been world court juries going on.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about 100 or 200. We're talking about, I don't know how many hundreds, maybe even 1,000 or more of these juries, and they have gone over it's a fine tooth. And what do these mean when they seal those indictments? Because they seal them pending public enactment of the Nassara law. Once that happens, or I don't know, I think it's going to be after, because remember we were told years ago that Sybil Edmonds would actually be coming out after the fact. Now we're seeing her coming out anyway. And you might say that, you know, we've been saying it's after the fact in the sense that since 2003, when the world trustees, the Rothschilds, the 13 families, they were all eliminated. And they were eliminated over a five-week period, the longest period of opening between rolls, as you might say, roll those things over, those hedge funds bets on the futures market in the derivatives section where they were betting against our children all the way out on their future to pay back what we needed to borrow from their future to just do what we want to do and keep going now.
That's right.
And so China and Russia and the United States, those are the three superpowers. Germany
is smaller.
It's not about size. Germany is the seed of, you might say, the second Antichrist still lingering. And the third Antichrist just went bye-bye, meaning we have been saying this for quite a while now. It didn't just be one person, remembering that there were these Nuremberg trials. Yes, there was a couple of dozen Nazis that chose their form of death from poison. Rommel chose poison. Rommel was another soul incarnation of Yeshu, the prophet.
He gave the Ark of the Covenant that was found in the Middle East to Ashtar to stop Hitler from causing what was almost like world evacuation project at that time.
Now, I was going to say something about Islam, because this has to do with the conflagrations of East and West coming to resolution. That was the plan way back then in Egypt, back in the land. Yes.
Hi, sorry to interrupt you. Before you say that about Islam, I just want to go back for 1 second. I think they've been holding Big Will on the line. He's muted out because there was some background noise, and we should check with him if he's complete. But first, before you said on Islam, I wanted to say Big Will had asked about Steve Harper, and you guys, you know, I was dropped off the line for a couple minutes earlier on the call, and I don't know if Rama told the story he heard about Steve Harper today or not, and so I just wanted to share that with Big Will if you hadn't yet.
Okay, and Big Will, get back on the phone. I'm sorry we made you wait so long. 415-762-1161.
I think he might be on at the station muted out. I'm not sure.
You can't see the chat here, can you, Beth, or can you?
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
Oh, Big Will is on.
Oh, okay. Hello, Big Will.
Hello, Tara, Rama, Beth, and Marita Roberts, and Angel Sue. Listen, this is my third and final question for today, and it's been on my mind for the last two or three days now. And what came to mind is this: the Gulf of Aden. What is the status, and where are we at this particular time? I pass the talking stick.
I will just
say. I know
the
answer.
Go ahead, Dad.
It may have been as long as 2 weeks ago. There was increased killing. There were some skirmishes right on the border there, right at the Gulf. And there was something to do with the governments there. And, you know, all of the truth doesn't come out on the news, but there was an increase in fighting and lives lost in Yemen less than 2 weeks ago. And that Stargate is full wide open, and those starships are coming in and out, and it's becoming harder and harder to push that down. I don't know, Rama, if you have more to add to that. I just noticed there was a spike in news from Yemen less than 2 weeks ago.
I will just say that my understanding is that the situation going on in the Gulf of Aden has to do with more and more of these life forms coming in, which represent different groups that are part of the healing of this process with the star seed on the planet, as well as the planet itself. And this is why I have to say that as all the countries line up and declare peace, as soon as peace is declared and the Nisara gets announced, it's simultaneous, then all the guns, all the tanks, all the bombs stop, and we can really have this conversation instead of going round and round in circles. And what I'm trying to say is that right now, that is at the highest levels being discussed. Right now, at this moment, with this lunar eclipse, full moon, and it has to do with the healing of this planet. This is why this guy, who was groomed for this mission for over 1,000 years, knows how to do the walking in the talking, if you will. Because he's a college professor, and I'm not saying it, you know, it's easy to be a college professor and go through school on a student loan, mind you, and end up president of the United States by a fluke. And the reason I mean it's a fluke is that all of heaven and earth was watching this, where they said, this is the man, this is the time, this is the place. How we change the timelines now. Go back and listen to the Hyperdimensional Elections of Barack Obama by Richard Hoagland. It says it all.
It's maybe we should play it again.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I pulled this every time. This goes and tells it all, too. This picture, we had this picture. It was back on April 15th. Oh, that's the day of tax day.
And I also wanted to say that there... I'm not sure how many people got arrested in Toronto, and maybe there are like maybe 250 that have been arrested. I'm not sure. And there are issues going on that ain't being talked about the Toronto police and others negotiating, mediating with other ABC agencies to kind of cover up the brutality that's been going on at this G20, G8 meeting, where the majority of the people, 10,000 there, were peacefully protesting, civil disobedience, not doing anything negative at all, and a small rebel band, probably folks who are paid by the Black Ops to go and break windows and create negativity, turn over cop cars, and create violence and blame it on protesters. This is how the dark side plays, and they pay.
It's called an extension of the details of disaster capitalism, which was identical to the Hitlerian plan.
That's right.
And there were two things they were doing. It's confusing. I remember across the Rubicon by... crossing the Rubicon oh my goodness. I'm just going to say what he was saying in there is that there's a humongous understanding that everyone needs to get. And there's a difference between Nazism, Hitlerism.
Fascism.
And fascism is in the form of corporate state control.
Corporate
greed.
Which
is exactly what these faces are.
And I just wanted to say that Dick Armey, members of the Republican Party, members of the Republican leadership, of which Michael Steele is part of, they are the ones, the millionaires, billionaires, trillionaires, that are paying people within the Toronto Police Department to create this stuff. It has to do with Stephen Harper wearing two hats.
If Stephen Harper did 9/11, everybody.
That's right.
They all are involved, whether they were in that position or not. And so I'd like to just read this here. It's on April.
We have two callers.
Okay.
Before you do that, we have two callers waiting.
Okay.
Go ahead, Alan. Line B2.
Hi, Tara, Rama, and Beth. I'd like to just throw something into the pot and get your feedback from this. Now, you know, I rarely watch TV, but on one of the PBS stations here in the Bay Area, they had the Magnificent Seven on, 1960 movie, you know, about a bunch of guys good with their guns coming into a town in Mexico to save a bunch of farmers and their families. Okay, now it hit on a big correlation with kind of what's happening with the galactic intervention on a full-blown disclosure and coming in with all of these announcements. Now, I can't imagine that there's possibly a really fine line with so many disparate things they have to consider. Yeah, when is exactly the right time now? Things are accelerating in such a wonderful way, in a way, right now, where you want as much as possible for the people themselves, let's say, in that village, to take responsibility for themselves and to learn the tools how to take care and protect each other, while at the same time there's marauding gangs that's going to try and come in and cause as much destruction as possible. Now, you know, there's a lot of very huge issues globally that they have to consider. But, you know, at the same time, I can imagine that they're very happy to see this responsibility and this awakening that's happening, in a sense, without that next level of intervention. So it's a fine walk, and they have to consider so many things. My God, if there wasn't all of this destruction going on and so much at stake, hey, leave everyone alone in a way. Teach them and help them to be more responsible for themselves, because I can't imagine they could have come in earlier. But then again, too, this interim time is a time where people are starting to learn how to be responsible for themselves without sitting back and say, oh, here comes the professionals. Now we can relax. Okay, now in that movie, there came a point where, you know, the town turned its back on them because they reverted back to the fear. Okay, now, you know, there's a lot of correlations here. So, you know, I don't know if you can get my thrust here. I just thought I'd throw that into the pot. So thank you very much for the time. I pass the talking stick. Namaste.
Well, you said a lot, my darling brother. I think that I understood. You went away so fast, I wanted to have a little conversation with you. I'm going to pass the talking stick. Beth and Rama, do you have something that you want to comment on? I believe that you were saying the perspective you're looking for is... to take in the big story.
Yes.
And to take in the big story, it has to do with the 9/11 and its consequences.
And what occurred the morning of 9/11, where they were doing a operation where they were setting up a disaster scenario in the event of a real one, yet they were doing a practice run. The practice run turned into the real thing, and then I don't even know where to go with it because I have no words except tears.
So let me read this now. This again was on...
There's another caller reading, sorry.
Oh, well, it's in response to this one. It's not long.
Oh, good. Okay.
No, it's of the pertinent moment. So it's April 15th. It was tax day, quote unquote.
Right.
And it's called 9/11 Consequences. The great horror is the WikiLeaks video that came out.
This is our U.S. soldiers that are being told to do this. The higher ups, even though it is not spoken of on any network, the higher ups, which are the black hats at the military Pentagon level, that say, shoot those life forms. I don't care what they are. Shoot them. And they shoot them. And we watched it on the WikiLeaks, and now they're trying to take the creator of the WikiLeaks and put him in prison for sharing it. And it's like, freedom of speech. This is why Tom Hartman is saying, tag, you're it. Speak up before it's too late.
Right, and I just want to add, anybody who hasn't seen the WikiLeaks video, it's 27 minutes long. What it is an internationally known photographer who works for the Associated Press had a shoulder strap camera, you know, strapped over his shoulder, walking through the streets of Afghanistan with 10 other people, and a Black Hawk helicopter with the American soldiers came, and they took the video from the helicopter with the voiceovers from the soldiers saying, look at that guy, he's got a weapon, let's shoot him, and they just shot these civilians dead on the streets, and this is only one incident. And this WikiLeaks is a video that was put across the internet to show us what these black ops are doing. This is what the story about Eric Prince is about. This is about outsourcing our military. And we have to keep talking about this. So if you haven't seen that video yet, you have a duty as a human being to go look at it. So look it up in the search engine. Go ahead, Tara. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Okay, now I want everybody to really listen, because this is, it went with the...
I just wanted to say one thing before you go for one second.
Okay.
Is that the issue at hand here is, I have talked to some U.S. vets that from Kirtland Air Force Base, to give it a name, on that rock station I come on. And what they told me is that the black hats in the Pentagon, they tell certain folks to do certain things, and if they don't do them, they end up dead. And this is where it comes in, that this brave person who put the WikiLeaks out is saying that enough of the secrecy going on within the military and the private sector, where the line is getting blurred, and then things get pretty ugly, because it's this, the issue that Thomas Jefferson brought up: when a standing army is in power, they are prone to mischief. What is going on? But the continued unwarranted wiretapping of all the telecoms going on, all the agencies that are listening to this conversation right now, as well as all your TVs, and love them even more in this moment, as they all know it has to do with the healing for all of us. As one is healed, all are healed. And we all know all are harmed as one is harmed. It is about the healing at this point which makes the difference. And what happened the morning of 9/11, I just have to say, I have talked to so many people that are just at the right moment, somebody's going to start yapping, and Dick Cheney and George Bush and all the rest are going to The Hague for war crimes. And I am just going to say, Mr. Osama bin Laden will be shown for what he is, which is a business partner of Bush Sr. and all the other characters tied in with the Carlyle Group and Halliburton and Raytheon and Transocean and Bechtel. And I can go on for another half hour with ABCs and corporations, and I won't. I passed the talking stick. I'm sorry. All right.
I just wanted to say, you know, yesterday we were reading about the New Atlantis quotations, and I didn't finish something. This is all connected now. Thou shalt not murder is the deal.
Earl is on line B3.
Hey, wait a minute, I didn't read yet.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just noticed.
Tara, we've interrupted you multiple times. Earl, hang in there, okay? Go, Tara.
All right.
You have the talking stick.
Okay, this is really key, because I'm going to just say a few sentences. I was working at the police academy here in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I was having a conversation after hours with the folks that were in one of the policemen's office with a bunch of other after hours policemen, and they were Christian, and they were studying about the fifth commandment, and you know the number of the power of change. And I learned in the Catholic Church that the fifth commandment was, thou shalt not kill. And, I mean, I was in second grade in a Catholic school. And so that's when you learn about that's the age of reason, you know. And so this is the only thing that they consider reasonable, is to say, thou shalt not kill. Well, they turned around and they looked at me and they said, that is not the correct translation. It's thou shalt not murder.
Yes.
So when we read these things now, we understand that this is premeditated murder in the form of mass genocide while hijacking the most highest at point of civilization's development since the previous one in Atlantis. And we're coming from that place where the land of the mother of Mu was the original of violation in the first place. Thou shalt not murder.
That's and the law.
The wizard duel, duels duality, polarity, thou shalt not murder changes the whole story. This is the story of the King of Swords.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember early on people, you know, not quite being able to come to terms with that in terms of what it says, no standing army. There they are, the people who brought you every bit of the action in the WikiLeaks video. And there they are in the picture. You know who they are? Madeleine Albright, right up in front. Colin Powell, right next to her. And I remember what Mother did. Mother hung up on him at Christmas time.
I'm sorry to laugh, but it is like, how do you hang up on the...
That was at Christmas time.
Wait, Tara, you said Mother hung up on him, but that's not right.
Yeah, it is. Mother did hang up on Colin Powell.
I thought he hung up on Mother.
No way.
No.
No. Mother hung up.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Okay. No, the reason Mother hung up on him is because Colin Powell was saying to Mother, please, I need more time. No, she didn't say please. He said, we need more time, and I have a family. He did ask that way, and Mother said, and we have a family, too. And she hung up on him.
That's right.
And so,
wow,
that means the same thing as in 1972 or so, on the fields in Vietnam, the King of Swords was challenged by an order from his superior,
yes,
along with a group of his fellas, and he was ordered to go and do some nasty stuff, like destroying innocent men, women, and children.
Burning villages and shooting any living form that existed.
That is correct. Right down the Mekong Valley, right?
Yeah.
Ho Chi Minh.
He was a helicopter pilot and those helicopter gunships. And, oh, my God.
The thing is that he turned around and he everybody respects that he is the man in form. He would not have survived what was going on in Vietnam and taken out his officer and seen to it that every officer that ever ordered such a thing to any one of our children in a standing army that was in a premeditated war. Who is the author of all this?
Sally.
Well, the author of all this is that disaster capitalism concept used over and over and over again. The law of sacrifice was an absolute lie. That's the whole old intent, Old Testament. And in terms of going through it, deciphering the truth. And that is what this charter and that Moabite reading from the Moabite Nation that we witnessed with Beth reading it last weekend. We want to, you know, request that we can have another moment in time when it's possible and probable that we could call on here, even Moabitess Forestine and maybe even Grand Goddess Lily, I'm just saying, to answer questions about this and for us to study it maybe from this week until next Sunday so that we really know how to answer questions when our neighbors who are just so shocked and they say, I know you told me all along, sister, you know, brother, that this was true, and now I'm reading it and I'm looking at it on the TV. Oh, my, my.
And how do I love Sarah Palin even more for all the animals she killed?
Okay, so there they are. Okay, I said Madeleine Albright, Colin Powell, Condi Rice, George W. Bush, and Dick Cheney. That's right. And that's right to left. What a nasty picture. There they are, the people who brought you every bit of the action in the WikiLeaks video and all of the other horrors flowing from invasion of Iraq. Madeleine Albright, former Clinton Secretary of State, is a good place to start. And it was directly off of that week's 60 Minutes. Leslie Stahl on U.S. sanctions against Iraq. Quote, we have heard that 500,000 children have died. I mean, that's more children than died in Hiroshima. And, you know, is the price worth it? Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, quote, I think this is a very hard choice, but the price, we think the price is worth it. And that was on May 12th. 1996, before Clinton's second term, during his end point of the first term. An exhaustive study found that 227,000 children under 5, and it refers to Table 13, died during the George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton regime of
yes.
total sanctions against Iraq from 1990 through 2000. Albright is distinguished as the most direct spokesmodel for senseless death, suffering that's characterized our engagement with that battered country. Yet others carry much greater responsibility. The Bush administration had top secret plans to invade Iraq as early as February. We're talking about junior now. As early as February, the second time, 2001, before 9/11, and I'll tell you what, it included 9/11 in
those
plans.
This is why they are going to The Hague for war crimes.
Firsthand, and you look at that faces on there, and they're all...
We are going to have another Nuremberg,
ridiculous.
And people are going to have to deal with that, and it's ugly. And this is where Ashtar and Sananda know a higher way, how we do this. And I'm sorry.
Okay.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
First-hand witness, you're not interrupting. In the pre-war White House, we're unable to name a point. First-hand witnesses in the pre-war White House were unable to name a point when the decision to invade was made. It was a fait accompli. Prior to the war authorization from Congress, the various intelligence agencies submitted a report that claimed Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. Many nations had WMDs. The report had to find that Iraq was an imminent danger to the United States. Here is the finding, quote, Iraq probably would attempt clandestine attacks against the United States homeland as Baghdad feared an attack that threatened the survival of the regime were imminent or unavoidable or possibly for revenge. Look at how they made that excuse for preemptive strike. This was the key judgments, October 2002, National Intelligence Estimate, NIE. Remember that thing, 100 pages something? The NIE is clear. Invading Iraq was the potential trigger for an attack on the United States by Iraq. The White House made sure that this critical finding was deleted from their report to Congress. And deleted is underlined and double dark. 6,000 U.S. soldiers are dead as a result of the Iraq War. At that time, that's just get it now that we're going to 2 million, everybody. And the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Now. 6,000 U.S. soldiers are dead as a result of the Iraq War. 20 times that many with serious war injuries. Over 1 million Iraqi civilians. Now we're at 4 to 5, maybe more, are dead as a result of this chaos unleashed by the invasion. Gunshot wounds, car bombings, etc. This is the true horror of the Iraq War.
Defects from depleted uranium.
They're calling it collateral murder in perspective. To begin with, this provocative tape, one that we as citizens have every right to see, is a moment in time in a much broader attack on Iraq. The United States led sanctions after Gulf War I, sought to deny Iraq any imports for over a decade. Saddam Hussein continued to build palaces while the millions who hated him struggled, suffered, and died.
He wanted to rebuild Nebuchadnezzar on the city, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, in preparation for 2012, the arrival of the Anunnaki.
And remember how the handshake went in the 80s with Rumsfeld.
That's right.
And that deal, again, we're talking about collateral murder in perspective with premeditated. Yes. So the deadly sanctions ran parallel. Saddam continued to build palaces while millions had struggled, suffered, and died due to the denial of medicine. Man, look at Palestine, everyone. Remember yesterday, Jesus was Palestinian and he was black and the drunk guy fell out cold on the floor. And died due to the denial of medicine and other necessary goods. The deadly sanctions ran parallel to regular bombings of Iraq. Those who planned the invasion ignored warnings that Iraq's rigidly controlled society would collapse without effective post-invasion planning, all premeditated. The central piece of what planning there was included the Iraq army as guarantor of order after the invasion. After the invasion, Colin Powell and Norman Schwarzkopf went in with a whole overhead airborne with bombers, and they murdered, literally, the ones on the ground with however method they did it. And they were all basically children, everyone. At that point, we were 65 to 70% of the population were actually children under 14 in Iraq. So the boys, not the men, really boys, it was a massive slaughter, 200,000 of their boys. The central piece of what planning there was included the Iraq army as guarantor. What Iraq army would that be? As guarantor of order after the invasion. Yet the army was disbanded after the invasion. After the loss of this 400,000 man army, who was left to maintain the order? Was it murder? Okay, so I passed the talking stick, and this we have an angelic answer to it as we can go on with maybe talking to Earl. Earl, Earl, are you there? The Earl of Old Town.
Finally.
Hello, girl. Hi.
That's that girl.
I just came back on because Rama wasn't sure about the numbers for the arrest, for the protest. Last number I heard was 550.
550 arrested?
Where?
In Toronto.
Toronto.
Yeah, it has to do with them trying to put on a good show for the G20.
Did they say what kind of orderly arrests or not?
Well, one arrest I knew is they went to this one place and they arrested 70 people. They're sort of saying, oh, these black shirt people were, changing their clothes and they look like, regular, ordinary people.
Okay, so there wasn't anything going on. They just arrested in the middle of doing ordinary things like going and getting dressed.
I don't know. You know how all this information can be real information or disinformation,
Well, yeah. Well, I'm certainly sure we'll have a dose tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, with Amy Goodman Show, everyone.
Oh, my God.
And also, what they're trying to do is what they want is for all the countries to cut their debt in half by 2013. And it's like, that's going to be really hard to do because you'll be cutting into programs like for welfare and all that, whatever, you're going to be, making bare bones, deep cuts into,
I'll just say they're programming people to think that we should just calm down, and that is the last thing that's happening here. And that brings me up to Medea Benjamin. They put her friend in prison.
Yeah, and I'm
with
not
no
sure.
charge and no limit to how long they can keep him there.
Yeah.
That is New World Order.
That is
one of the first things that they did, and they did it at Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
They had put people in places where they were waiting for their death.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they put them up there in Nevada bases up there, and they had the wire of the barbed wire angled 5 layers deep going in with 10-foot tall fences, heavy. And I say guarded military concentration camps in plain sight.
That's right.
We are, unaware of how much was not put out there when it was being necessary to know. For 8 solid years, and we went really numb. Really numb.
Comfortably numb, Pink Floyd?
No, not even comfortably numb. Comfortably numb walking in the streets without your family, without your
home.
The
Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead.
That's
right. The living. And also, the police chief was holding a press conference. And one of the reporters' question was, well, what about the rubber bullets? Because we recorded video of police using rubber bullets. And the police chief was like, no, we didn't use rubber bullets. We have video to prove it. And the reporter's like, yeah, well, I would like to see your video. And police chief's like, yeah, we'll be gladly to share our video with you and you with us. And
it is a place where I have to say they are trying to step into hyperdimensional warfare, and it's not going to work. It is an ancient war weapon that was in the Orion War, and overlapping dimensions at the speed of light only creates more wormholes and more holes in the fabric of time and space, and Mother doesn't allow that, so I think...
You know what? We're also talking about how many more did contribute to this belief in the war machine. It's every single second until now, everyone.
That's right.
We're actually ending war.
We are.
War is over, I say.
War no more troubles.
Over our livingness. War no more troubles. Do we need a song?
Now I've got that gentleman song stuck in my head now.
You got it. That's a good song to have stuck in your head.
It is.
I like the other one, too, where they just go to the sites and they say, what was that other one, that first one, that one that won an award?
Oh, Grandpa Elliot and the black guy that was on the street.
All of them were there, but
yeah.
They were singing another song and they were all in there.
Oh.
Was it just the one love song?
I can't remember.
Okay, well, we
yeah.
should make
now
sure.
I think this was... President Obama into really tough position because how the biggest cut has to be the war, right? Because, you know, war costs a lot more money than, you know, health care and all that.
I will say that how this is being healed is we're being given the keys right now with the ideas of bringing love into the story. Understanding the whole story is the biggest key in loving presence, and I'm trying to say that, you know, Howard Zinn said you can't be neutral on a moving train. Yet that train is moving into the realm in which War Crimes Tribunals is on the horizon, dealing with 9/11. And, oh my God.
And see, the Congress is going to have to deal and face this too. This is why Congress has been so bought.
Yeah.
They're also saying, you know, Congress voted again and again to fund war, even though the facts had already surfaced about the lies used to start the war for all these years.
This ties in with five lobbyists or
every
10
lobbyists.
Every time
they wanted to get through those whole 8 years, anytime they wanted to have more money for those things, those guys said, sure. And they got paid off.
For every congressperson, there are 5 to 10 lobbyists pulling on their coattails to say, 5,000 here if you just do my deal. 10,000.
Now they have to deal with Vincent Bugliosi, everybody. We've been seeing that that's been initiated quite firmly. What's the name of that again? The
the prosecution
of George W. Bush
for
murder.
Yeah.
Are we getting all the links that have already... See, the light also has premeditated the pouncing that was going to be needed every step of the way. And boy, they've got their pouncing lessons all done and down. And Vincent Bugliosi combined with Sybelle Edmonds, may ye step forward and step up to the plate and show up on the air now. Patrick Fitzgerald. Okay, what can we do with the...
Anyway, we have the rainbow timing stick.
Thank you, Commander. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Well... Where were we? We were on this theme here. of finishing a few things that we really wanted to fully comprehend. The lunar to solar eclipse, the big push. Is this okay to go into this and finish this now, Beth?
That's just great, Tara. Thank you.
Okay.
And I will find a song here.
Oh, you want to do a song first?
Well.
Okay, you can do a song. Well, okay. You want to just tell me when you have it and what you've decided, and I'll just stop for that moment.
Okay.
Okay, so let's see. I'm going to back up just a second so we can pick up. We don't need to go through the whole thing for the beginning. Again. Okay. The most important component of this activation, and we're talking about yesterday. The most important component of this activation is the reconnection of the 12th strand of DNA, as discussed in the last Galactic Times post. That's our strand for love, higher love. That number 9, magenta love, consistent magenta, ruby ray, who love. That color is actually on the vibratory scale, is above the violet flame. In other words, as we integrate the violet flame as a consistency, we become that magenta ruby ray of love. Oh, mother, 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 mother. Okay, I have seen a magenta ruby. I'm not kidding. We saw it on our friend's finger.
Yeah.
And boy. Okay, so here we go. Okay, and the physical changes that we shall eventually feel will be a direct result of this refusing. Together, this timed solar activation, as well as the completion of our DNA reconnection, is slated to anchor us in zero point and propel us to physical stabilization. In an instant, all disharmonious energies that keep or kept you in a state of dis-ease will be lifted from your energy field and will initiate a deep genetic as well as cellular mutation. What we have experienced up till this point, has been simultaneous clearings and ongoing physical detoxification for the recalibration of our physical vessels to allow for the body to handle the incoming frequencies of light. Yet the star beings are saying that this activation portal is one that is taking us from physical clearing and detoxification to full harmonization with the soul, which they say equals stabilization and physical homeostasis. The many years of physical sickness that you have been experiencing resulted from clearing the environmental, genetic, and emotional toxicity that you have inherited and acquired. That means anything that came before us. We decided that we would just be the, what do you call that little round munch man?
Pac-Man.
Yeah, Pac-Man. Push me and eat it up if it's in the way. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so triggering, okay, that is, where am I going here? The many physical and emotional toxicity that you have inherited and acquired. This clearing is experienced as unwellness. Yet, in fact, it is the path to wellness. Now that's a big sentence, isn't it? That is a giant sentence. As we see what we are looking in our lives at, as making it neutral. Making it neutral. And then you can stabilize and have that physical homeostasis continue. And, you know, the magic of the moment right now is that what Nisara really does, it dissolves all debt. And we're talking about spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical debt. And that means coming to a round table where there is no more need for, you might say, a disagreement. And that charter in that Moabite nation that is the highest law and the national economic security and reformation act of our values, which are matched to our Moabite numerous reincarnational patterns together as the goodly company, remembering, and the more we remember, we remember our ship. And that ship is planet Mother Titalakoria, the diamond one of that diamond sutra that Patanjali teaches about. We can go ahead and do something now with music while we contemplate that one. Okay. What did you want to do?
This is, you'll recognize it when you hear it. Oh my God.
All right, I accept.
It says it all.
All right, here we go.
You're a huge shipping company with a virtual monopoly on package delivery.
Oh.
But uh-oh, here comes a competitor.
Oh. Biff. Is that an ad?
That's an ad. Google has to pay for it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
This shall pass.
Oh, now. Okay.
She called out to You can see that she's been there. Probably been moved on from every place. Cause she didn't fit in there.
On this video, it says 100 million people homeless in the world, which is more.
And I think that was made in 1989.
Oh, well, then we've got a whole lot more going on than that.
I mean, it just kind of said what...
2 billion people gone in the last 100 years in this plot. All right.
I didn't mean to change the energy, Beth. It just, that song jumped into my head.
I would talk, but I'm crying.
How dare you?
Tara, did you finish earlier? I'm confused because I got dropped off. Did you finish What's in the Bruton Vault?
No, I didn't. Should I finish that?
I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Yes, well, that's okay.
We got several callers at that time when you were reading it, and that information is so important to what's happening today.
Okay, then we will just put this aside and we will go here. Okay, therein lays the Rockefeller interest in securing the contents of the vault, possibly because it contains the basis of a godly-based government that our forefathers truly intended for our country, as opposed to the godless society that the New World Order has been pursuing in the process of establishing one world government.
Mm-hmm.
Hall wrote that Bacon made sure that the American colonies were thoroughly principled in religious tolerance, political democracy, and social equality. And so you put the political democracy together with social equality, and then you have democratic socialism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And along with religious tolerance, of course. Through carefully appointed representatives, the machinery of democracy was set up at least 100 years, talk about premeditated, 100 years before the period of the Revolutionary War. Among researchers, and all those records are in the Bruton Vaults. 100 years of records that we don't even know about? My. Among researchers who believe in the existence of the vault, which means 100 years of records of the Moabite people of the land.
Mm-hmm.
Those are our Moabite records. They are going to be, I would suggest that we, you know, visualize now that we are seeing, is there something that you heard about in terms of, you said it earlier in the news, the Moabite number from the
I asked the King of Swords and Larry Turley and Moe about that, and he said it is already in the bag, yet nobody has said anything more.
Okay, so are they...
He wouldn't explain...
Is it by design that it doesn't take from June 15th until now to get it in the mail?
I don't know what to say, because I'm just a canary singing along in the coal mine.
Okay.
That's all I heard.
Okay, so it's in the chute, huh? It's in line.
Amen.
In the right place.
All men, all
women,
all
children.
All
backed up and worked out. Okay. So, okay. Okay, 100 years before the period of the among researchers who believed in the existence of the vault, it has been commonly accepted that it contains the complete copy of the New Atlantis with the rest of the writing. In other words, it was left for on the surface as if it was only half done, and then he so-called died. Remember, he did not die. He had to go take the completed rest of it.
They're trying to pull the plug on Senator Byrd. I can feel it.
Well.
Just send the light, you know.
And, you know, it still looks... He's gonna go, in other words, this time.
Yeah.
In other words, not like Teddy Kennedy.
I think that he wants a rest, and he can do more on the other side of the veil and show up with brass balls to the walls.
Yeah, and he's been,
R&R is in order.
Yeah. He's been super MK Ultra.
Yeah.
Miscalculation of energy. Okay. Along with company plans and organizational strategies. So full New Atlantis. And so we're going to get to read the rest of our story, everybody. It's going to be funny to see that, you know, that when you're not in time, you can actually finish a story that takes you to the time when it's necessary, and we're ready for the read the rest of the story. So that's going to really even be more interesting when we read it as it was written 400 years ago, before all of it actually came to pass. That's fun. It's also believed that the original manuscripts of Bacon's collection of writings will be found there, along with some that were never published. And again, those are there and ready for us now, as they'll come up with it. And because of the notion by some researchers that Bacon was the actual author of Shakespeare's works, remember, he's a Moabite Moor, his mother too, and his grandmother. And his grandmother lost her head due to circumstances of being married to Henry VIII. And the vault may contain those original manuscripts. That in itself would be quite the treasure, as there are no surviving copies of scripts from any plays of the Elizabethan era. Marie Bauer was told that the vault contains Queen Elizabeth's wedding ring. Oh, we were down there, yes. And then others say the vault contains the missing crown jewels of Queen Elizabeth I. I think they're talking about, Queen Elizabeth's wedding ring. I mean, why would they not say the first on the first one? I think it's not the second one, I don't think. No, she's... As well as, it's both Elizabeth I, as well as, quote, other objects missing from the British court. It is also believed that the vault contains a quantity of gold and silver, documented proof of Bacon's royal lineage. An original edition of the Bacon edited King James Bible, which is the corrected version, as well as notes and documentation of the committee's work. In other words, they went and they revised what the King James, the version, first version of the Bible disinformed. My gosh, it's going to be a lot of stuff in there. Okay, also inventions that were far ahead of their time and a device that will enable their codes to be deciphered upon bringing it to the surface. That's how much we knew that we needed to do Nasara and take 30 years to get that all ready for the population to be ready to take it in. And however job did we do, we did. And that's why they're here to help us now. And I just, you know, Ashtar says it through Susan Leland, and good job. Job well done. And then Mother comes through and says, let's dance. Okay, still others say the vault contains books from the library of Benjamin Franklin. Big Ben, the Moabite man, as well as drafts of what would become the Declaration of Independence. And those drafts are written three-quarters of it in the Iroquois language. So I would love to see who wrote the rest in English. Was it Ben himself? The Mason?
You don't know, say.
The true Mason. He was a member of the Sisters of Nine Masonic Order or something like that in France. And they allowed women as well as men. And that's the only place I know of, even to this day. I don't know if there's more lodges. I think we'll have to ask that out there. Patty, do you know up there in Canada? As well as drafts of what would become the Declaration of Independence. What was that written in that Iroquois language? It was because they were forming a confederacy, the Iroquois Confederacy. And that which was written as their confederacy, remember, they are Moabites, their ancestors are Washita and Cherokee are in there. Even though the Cherokee are of Irish descent, and that was, looks, the color gets very white, there was a little experiment because the Black Irish came over here, and we came over here from Egypt first. Egypt to actually the Rock of Gibraltar, then to France, René des Châteaux, for instance. Both in a starship, there was energy, and on the sea, navigating. Remember, the Moorish people were navigators. They were the navigators of the great sea, including having the courage to traverse the Sea of Darkness, and including that the real Moorish being, Prince Nicholas Ypsilantis, was the Christopher Columbus that came over here and navigated on the sea as a Greek Moor, and as the Coptic, Gnostic traditions were combined in Egypt, you understand. And also in the Ebionite peoples who also migrated into Palestine. And that is why our sister yesterday, Saeed Ahmad, that she said he was Palestinian and he was Black. / Ebionites.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All the way back. So Magdalene and Yeshu also had their first child, Sarah, in Egypt. And And so then they took this child, and when they traveled with her, she was described as their slave. You know, I don't remember that she was not a servant girl, bringing their servant girl with them from Egypt. And that's a radical sort of thing to say. Yet those were the necessities of the day for the Ebonites, the Egyptians, the Palestinians, the true ones that were being covered up for 520 years, their story, how that interlaces. And then it went from there through a storm, and so as they were traveling from the Rock of Gibraltar around that Spanish part of the land to come up north, there was a storm. I guess the winds change, and so they went ashore in the storm, ended up in France, and then, you know, people stayed, and the village of René de Chateau was one of those villages. And then they traveled as well. And remember that these folks are navigators of the sea. They, you know, the women, the four women in the ship, in that iron carving.
Right, the boat with no oars.
In the cathedral, the boat with no oars.
Which was the spaceship.
They're preserving the daughter and the mother and the grandmother and the great-grandmother. That's what's going on. In terms of also the energies of the generations coming before and then proceeding forward. That, and I mean even five, daughter, mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother, that's five generations. I've seen, and I spent time living next door to a Irish woman, Irish-Hispanic. That means Irish-Hispanic, and she was 104 or 5. Mm-hmm. And her whole family, she had 17 children and their families, you know, celebrated with her. I'm just saying that's pretty amazing to know that. And she, I've had discussions with, and her in particular too, about these things and knowing about the Black Irish and knowing about they came from Egypt and Ethiopia and Palestine. And what were they doing? They were being persecuted in the Middle East. In Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, now we got Mr. Nebuchadnezzar number 2, Mr. Saddam Hussein, and he is also a war criminal, and he will return on the scene, on the ground, and then whatever's going to happen after that, there will be ship landings.
Yeah.
And just as we saw on the screen, 10,000 bankers in shackles being put on C-5A jets. We may have some of these ones delivered directly to starships that actually landed for the purpose of removing certain characters to a galactic trial.
That's right.
From whence they came in Orion's belt on Ramata, did you say?
On Ramata.
And that's
like the Borg homeworld, you could say. It's like a machine world.
Are we going to get to watch it on screen? Is Ashtar going to give us a live show?
He may hook up to the ship's main viewing console, and you may see it.
Are you kidding?
I am not kidding.
All this is in here, everybody. All these things that are waiting to be actually described, they're in here. Saint Germain's Brut and Voss will speak for themselves.
That's right.
Okay, so others say that the vault contains books from the library of Benjamin Franklin, as well as drafts of of what would become the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution, which never did, which means that those things are sitting there. Those are the originals. That means that original Moabite, Ben, Big Ben Franklin, is going to have saved the day for all of us. That one, but all by himself. Yeah?
Tell us the story about how the Declaration of Independence is different from one that's in the Bruton Vault, and the Constitution, how is it different, and why are they in there?
Because the civilization was, I'm answering the last part first. The civilization was not fully ready at the time, literally. And in terms of the evolution of consciousness, and we've got remnants to prove it, don't we, in the West here, everybody? I'm just saying, even our own brothers and sisters and our own parents and a number of times are overcome with our awareness as the generations proceed forward. And the speeding up process of our awareness is returning even to the elders of our generation, especially those of us with the white skin ones, and especially those who got lightened in their skin over time, which is, that's really what's gone on here. Every generation, they just lightened it and lightened it until, and you've got to remember, when those twins were born, Esau and Jacob, he had red, hairy body. His whole body was red and hairy. Is the rhesus monkey got red hair? There you go, everyone. There's where it happened. Something happened back there. I'll tell you the story. Let's just tell the story of the Moabites, and then we'll know the story. The Moabites were descendants of Lot. Moab being the son of Lot, as well as his older daughter. In other words, Lot had sex with Moab's older daughter.
Not
and
cool.
That's been going on, and that's the part in Islam that I was bringing up that really, really got, you might say, intervented. And it was done by this Catholic Church stuff.
Tara?
Yeah.
You can't really tell that part of the story without going into the nuclear holocaust and the reason why, because Lot and his daughter knew what they were doing was wrong, and his two daughters, I should say, and that's why it was forgiven, and so there was a reason why that happened that time, and it's a much bigger story behind that than just, you know, one act of incest. It's
well,
a
yes,
very important part of the story.
Yes, that is, and yes, understand this, that, you know, the nuclear holocaust has been going on a lot longer than there. I mean, remember that we knew about nuclear stuff all the way back in Atlantis, and we didn't create that kind of hardware in the land of Mu at all. We had the gifts. You know, we were starting to lose our gifts in Atlantis because we weren't following the law.
We started messing with each other and everything around us, and that wasn't cool.
And then by the time we got to Egypt, after the destruction and the central nervous system, Mother Earth was no longer able for quite some time to converse with us, to actually have someone remember that she's worth conversing with as you would like to descend upon the earth and then determine the next part of your destiny as a human civilization. So there was a complete cutoff. And I'm talking about psychically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And we did de-evolve to the point where without something else to do about it, as in splicing rhesus monkey, splicing orangutan energy down there when the elephantitis was the problem, splicing even dog energy, knowing that the dog people from Sirius were not reduced to animal until in Egypt those things happened to happen in laboratories, like little E.T. naughty laboratories. And it happened 6,000 years ago in the laboratories of Enki's ship. And I'm just going to say that the shadow part of Jehovah never fell from grace. Let's put it that way. That's why they call it the Luciferian Rebellion. Because God, in terms of the perfection that would be described by the active principle, remember Richard said firmly, as we raise up civilization now, when we do the raising up, it's going to take some time to raise up the role of the feminine in terms of the gross inequality and misconceptions and misguidance, and then little imp children growing up, you know, and not learning anything about responsibility for this body, for an incarnation of any kind. What?
I hate to interrupt, but Beth has lost sound. Seth or Don, could you please help her? I'm not sure what to do.
Lost sound?
Yeah. She's saying she is connected the via the phone, yet she can't hear. And we are about to get some rain.
Okay, so I'm sorry we missed you, Beth. Here, okay. So, where were we?
We were talking about, oh God.
Well, we were talking.
Beth, do you remember?
The number is 415-762-1162. She wanted to know
1161.
1161. She wanted to know more about the Declaration of Independence and what happened
right,
to it. The
right.
Simple answer is that it was placed down there along with, and Sir Francis Bacon did all of this, and it was placed down there with Ben Franklin's original manuscripts of the true Declaration of Independence. And I cannot wait to see that. That has not been placed in print. I know that we heard about a year ago that they found, so-called found, 35 more ancient manuscripts. Ancient meaning as ancient as Ben Franklin. 13 years of them. I think there are 35 manuscripts of letters or volumes of letters over a 13-year period. And it was 13 years before 1774 when the final writing of those manuscripts that are still sitting there, which were supposed to be for the Moabite, and the president was supposed to be called also, not the Indian chief, although that's the way that the corporate mindset, even at that, had it inserted, has nothing to do with India, although India, being of Mother Africa, Mother actually Egypt, Kemet, Mu, all of these true names combined with the land of Pan, being all land of Mu, that we must study. And that was another thing that Lord Jamal said this morning. He said, it's time to study.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to study deep. And he said, study deep. This charter, this perpetual universal charter of the Moabite nation.
Perpetual means forever, does it not?
Yes. In perpetuity.
Yeah.
Is what it actually declares in other words, for seven generations on to now. Now we're back to the right law.
And I said to the King of Swords along to Larry Curly and Mo, where's my effing freedom? That I did say it to him like that this morning.
Well, you thought it was just that little number.
Right.
For the Moabite Charter to be official with that number.
Right.
Yet we are now sure it's in the basket, yet the real surety is in study and learning. This, you might say, the age of enlightenment is the age of perpetual learning. And then giving it back, facilitating together our learning. Yes?
Tara, can I add something here, please?
Let's see if we can get you a little clearer, and then it would be good. Okay, let's see. Go ahead.
All right, so remember, everybody, we're not sovereign until we know what sovereignty is. We're not sovereign until we understand that we are a sentient being. And the reason it's important to read and study the Universal Charter is because that document explains all the reasons why the United States is a corporation. It explains that if you're white and you live in America, you are a slave. As long as you're not sovereign, as long as your birth certificate bond is being traded at 55 Water Street in New York City, you are a slave, even if you have white skin. And it also explains why the Declaration of Independence is not a correct document, because it leaves people out completely. So we're not really a nation that's all inclusive or even includes all of its citizens. And
hold on, ladies.
In order for us to come into, we can't just get a number on that piece of paper and everything's hunky-dory. We have to start studying why the documents are wrong, why the Universal Charter works, how the research goes back, where the thread is. And it's time to really start studying and understanding those things, and we need to go more into depth about this on this call. It's important to understand what the Uniform Commercial Code means, what the birth certificate bond is, why a person would fill these things out, why you may want to pursue your freedom papers, why you may want to set up a foundation, and how that ties into filing an affidavit to join the Moabite Nation, along with declaring your nationality and why declaring your nationality is important, what implications it has on your children and your property. And we, as a group, will be studying these things more in depth. This is very important. You don't just become sovereign by filling out a form or getting a number. Very important that we go deeper into these things.
Yeah. There's also something about the word corporation that has been completely lost in terms of, and I learned this from Maggie and Jack, who were John Adams and Abigail, and Margie. Margie said, there is a, and she showed us, because they have a trust that is inside Luxembourg.
Right.
And nobody has any knowledge at all. It's all private.
Mm-hmm.
And that section is clean. And they just walk in the door. They set it up themselves. They have the key. No one else. And that's an amazing thing.
It's just like in the movie, the Da Vinci Code.
And they called it Milky Way Galaxy Incorporated. They called that their trust that. And what does that mean? I said, what's the difference about incorporation versus the corporation? And so here it is. It's right here. It's called the body politic. The body politic, or corporate, that means the living ones, everybody. A social compact by which the whole people covenants with each citizen. The whole people, the corporate, covenants with each citizen in the, call it body politic, and each citizen with the whole people. In other words, it's a social cycle that is agreed upon round and round in the circles unbroken. In other words, the representatives are at one all the time, 100% with this covenant of the whole people with the citizen and vice versa. That all shall be governed by certain laws for the common good. Also, a term applied to the municipal corporation, again, within this type of corporate covenant, when we go back to the original covenant, that is of those nine of the Ark of the Covenant, then there is no wiggle room in that sense. There's no wiggle room, and so that the people agree at the basic, and we go beyond. That's why the separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm.
Clear and aligned. The school district, the county, and the city, all those things where now we can talk about the corporate being represented again within body politic or public associations. Again, body politic people constitute, body politic people constituting a political unit within a government, a state. Now, since we're talking about one Moabite nation, we're talking about one planetary state of being, universal and uncompromised. That's right. The Moorish Science Temple of America is filed in Cook County Records Office as a religious corporation. The prophet Noble Drew Ali realized that we can exercise self-determination within religious freedom as we return to the practice of the ancestral divine principles and creed from which we identify and govern from. So the Moabite Charter actually does that, so that whatever we have engaged in that has done anything except that, which is everything else that we are choosing to call governance on this planet, to be very sure, as it's all been one thing for one New World Order and nothing less, we are really learning when we read what has been put together without one stone unturned and understand it thoroughly about this Moabite Charter. Religious freedom within the Constitution First Amendment embraces not only the right to worship little g God according to the dictates of one's conscience, please, not one's ego, yet also the right to do or forbear to do any act for conscience sake, the doing or forbearing of which is not inimical to the peace, good order, and morals of society. In other words, do no evil. Do no harm. And that's the any act that we're talking about. The free will choice was got remapped and said, oh, we can make up all these statutes, which are not law at all, for the land. There is a law of the sea that states that the president, or the admiral, excuse me, not the president, the admiral, and of course they say the head of the president is the admiral-in-chief, really,
mm-hmm.
you might say, in terms of the head of the whole military. Yet it's not correct, because on the land there is another law, and it's not any different than, you might say, the difference being that on Mother's Sea, it's Mother's Law. On Mother Earth's body, it's Mother's Law. So the law of the land must apply to terra firma. You don't need anything about what you do and where you anchor your ship when you're already on the ship of the land. And so that's what they did. They made us moor, M-O-O-R, our ship, our bodies, with all capital letters, with a completely different write-up called our individual master file, which has nothing to do with this statutory venue whatsoever. That's why the Freedom Club was able to access common law and therefore do it in contingency with another truth, which is that you can actually come back to your real self through common law. Now the Moabite Nation is aligned with the highest law. That means as the government on the ground, and the government on this ground has not represented common law, simply because the only way that common law can be accessed is by constitutional law. And that original constitution in 1787 was written and is archived, and it's a real constitution. It was changed, and it was turned into a corporation when it was implemented in 1789. Now, there is the other problem, because of the cover-up, that the changed constitution has nothing to do with the original one. And that original one, which has also got Ben Franklin's writing from the Iroquois Confederacy of the Moabite people of the Iroquois, working in alignment with the Moabite teachings, that one is now our second Declaration of Independence, called Nisara. And
yeah.
So when we read that 250-page document, and then we read that original Declaration of Independence document in those Bruton vaults, that will really match. Let me tell you, it will match.
Oh, my God.
The man with the plan called Sir Francis Bacon, now St. Germain again, never died.
No.
Wrote all the precepts that had to do with what Moabite law has to do with. And I'll just say that were written back there in the Nag Hammadi digs through all the Assyrian Osiris documents that were in there too. And the documents of that time and all of those who were stellar beings are identifiable, absolute, and have been able to mark their way by the records that are in those Bruton vaults. And you'll see how that is as when all these records are brought up. Things that weren't when they were written are, because we know for 400 years those histories did occur. That's how clear it is. Okay. We measure the circle 7 by the circle 7. The Friday meetings of the Moorish Science Temple is the ritual of divine government in practice. It follows a prescribed formula laid out by the prophet Noble Drew Ali, the same way Congress and the Senate have their own rituals of government enacted by when they convene. Since this ritual of government was handed to us by Allah himself, and behind every Allah there is a mother, and Allah as the perfection of God in service to mother. That's what we mean by God, Allah, himself, the active one, androgynous when we get to knowing ourselves that way. Through his holy prophet, Noble Drew Ali, it should not be changed nor altered in any way.
562 people arrested at the G20.
Is there more of a story about that?
This is, you know.
Okay, it should
CBC
not.
CBC News.
Okay, let me. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay, by Allah himself, through the Holy Prophet Noble Drew Ali, it should not be changed or altered in any way. The meeting is not the forum for discussion of all the subjects, topics, and issues the new Moors would like to learn, discuss, and engage in. There will be other forums set up for that. Money does not make the man. It is free national standards and power that makes a man and a nation. This is from the Moorish teachings, page 6. The only sole foundation for the salvation of Asiatics. First, I would like to give thanks and praise to Allah for sending to us a prophet to redeem us in these last days. It's true, a prophet who does the prophet walk comes before the people, and any one of us who are coming before the masses, we are that. That's the number 22 path.
Prophets and the heroes.
Yes, and I give thanks and praise to Allah for sending us the prophet to redeem in the last days. I give high honor to the prophet, our prophet, Noble Drew Ali, for the job of redemption most excellently done. And salvation is a ladder reaching from the heart of man to the heart of Allah, which is the action principle. We as a people needed to be redeemed. To think the greatest became the least, and the least became the greatest. I mean to say, the Moors and the Moorish Islamic civilization, which, quote, pound for pound, was the highest form of civilization upon our mother earth, it fell. That's correct. The highest form of civilization on planet earth in the period of Atlantis, that one, fell. And now our people, our Moorish people, represent the most fallen of fallen humanity. It fell in the West, right here where we call it North Amexum. The civilization was actually fallen 6,000 years ago, even from the time of Lot. But remember, Lot was saved and the mother fell. You might say that's another story about the fall of Lilith. There was the fall of the children, well, represented by Lucifer's fall, and there was a fall for Lilith, too. And Lilith became a consort of her own son. Lilith being originally the consort of Jehovah. Now, actually in the higher state, the concert of Lilith and Jehovah, the firstborn son, and I mean the twin flames, Lilith and Jehovah, their mother, out of herself, created them. Alcyone loved equally. Alcyone is mother. Remember, every 26,826-year cycle, Alcyone and mother would trade places. Until this one. And this one is four times longer than any other yuga that we have experienced. And we've experienced six yugas, and now we're in the seventh yuga, and we're at the last 2,000 years, and the first 2,000 years. The last 2,000 years was the first 2,000 years from 0 to 2000, the age of Pisces, the last so-called sign of the zodiac, yet for one thing, it began after colonization and the teachings of Christ, the prophet of the day. The prophet is always the teachings of the office of the Christ, where the knowledge of that is the key, is the mother is the teacher. The mother is the nurturer. The mother is the divine creation itself. Yes, that means when we use the body, it's her creation. And we were allowed, we were, as Mother said, created equal to her. And of course our test would be that we would co-create this body with her, co-create our creation together. And Mother said that's the way we pick up the pieces and return our own inheritance to ourselves. And our inheritance to ourselves is hers and hers alone. That's why we talk about her, Hue, H-U-E, manity. Man, the hues of the various hues of man, meaning human civilization, beyond gender, the body of the activities. You know, in the I Am sanctuary, they would call them the I Am activities. The I Am activities, once we learned, like we sat together like now, or Madame Blavatsky sat with the bankers, and, you know, all the teachings of the mighty I Am were given to them on to how to do their money thing, you know, and their politics thing. They went out and they did it. In other words, they didn't just make it up, and they make up their own controlling divisiveness in the process. Rama, did you want to say something about?
I'll just say that, you know, the understanding about this is that, you know, they're all the symbology of what they tried to hide is all coming out. And this is the solar tongue. I just want to say symbology goes to the solar tongue.
Symbols of the solar cross.
And the sound frequencies of what the sounds create with the symbols, and you see them in your head.
Okay, so now we were saying that this Islamic Moorish civilization, which pound for pound, remember we read this many times ago, many moons ago in Washington, D.C., when we were last year on the East Coast, and we learned that all knowledge and every form thereof it was already written by the great Kemet people, Kutumi being one of those original Kemet people, Tahuti in Atlantis. And, oh, okay, so I'm going to say that, yes, this highest form of civilization on the planet Earth fell. And now our people, the Moors, the Moabite people, the same, unless you forget who you are and you forget the principles of nature, Mother Nature, represent the most fallen. So for now, and now, our people, Moors people, represent the most fallen of fallen humanity. From the time we fell from the highest plane of spirit life to physical earth, an institution was set in place. This institution is called by Moors, the everlasting gospel. Mission is for man's redemption and salvation on planet Earth. The prophet Noble Druilly said this, quote, "Our forefathers are the true and divine founders of the first religious creed for the redemption and salvation of mankind on Earth," from the Holy Quran. The first religious creed involved a series of prophets or saviors, some of whom were crucified saviors, who were sent to get us back on the right path whenever we have strayed down the wrong path, when we fell from the realm of spirit, the first fall of man, into the physical flesh. We were presented with the dilemma of choice. The choice of following the path of spirit man, capital S, capital M, from the plane of spirit, Zion, directing the world of flesh, and things made manifest, the matrix. Of course, that was taken over, and Zionism isn't Zionism as its original spirit man Zionism was. Fuzzy Wuzzy wasn't Fuzzy Wuzzy anymore. Or the path of the carnal flesh and things made manifest which can attempt to subjugate spirit and spirit man in gratification to and of the flesh, called indulgence of little s. This is the choice that we as individuals and as a people have always faced and still face now. The role of the prophet in this institution, known by Moors as the everlasting gospel, is to get us to choose the first choice over the second aforementioned choice. In actuality, it is our people's inner longing for self-correction, salvation, redemption, that causes us to produce one form among ourselves who has all of the necessary ingredients to redeem us. This is why we're asking people to embody that LGN is one world economy with the principles of Saint Germain in the formula of how we work together with divine alchemy amongst us. The one who chooses who it is that will redeem our nation at a given point in time is called by the Moors Father God Allah, whereby the A-L-L part of it is Mother. It represents the source. The All is the source, Mother. And Ah, A-H, is the book of Kutumi. It's the book of Thoth. It's the activities book of the I Am Sanctuary I Am, of the divine Moabite. The divine spirit man plane of our being. Allah, the husbandman of everything that is. So here's how we describe how the mother's behind the father and how these activities are from our spirit man. Now, why do Moors refer to the Creator as Allah? And A-H is the sound of gold, by the way. That's why it's the Golden Knowledge Book. And 800, I understand in its final copy, the way it's printed, is a 1,200-page document. Very great. Okay. It takes every religion and it synthesizes it and it expands it into the new spirit man plane of directive world healing. Yes, it does. Why do Moors refer to the Creator as Allah or our Father God, Allah? The activity of Allah is the activity of joy in the world with love. Mother love with the golden key of knowledge in active principle is joy. And joy is the key of 44 in the medicine wheel, the key of the medicine wheel of the hummingbird, joy. Because he is Father of the universe. Now, Father of the universe means the doer of creation, the active principle. The creation itself is Mother's body. So, okay, the word Father implies the existence of the word Mother, the same way as the existence of a right hand implies the existence of a left hand. As Allah, the Creator, is represented as a Father, then who is the Mother? Who is the Mother? In the very first chapter of the Holy Quran of the MSTA, it says, quote, now seeds are perfect, yea, as perfect as the source from which they come. Yet they are not unfolded into life made manifest. The child is as perfect as the mother is. So man must be deeply planted in the soil that he might grow, unfold, as does the bud unfold to show the flower. What are you doing? Can you turn the sound down?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm turning the sound. Big Wilson Obama was saying something on C-SPAN.
Well, you got to get up there and...
Yeah, well...
Excuse me. Okay, so man must be deeply planted in a soil that he might grow. Just put the mute button on. Put the mute button on. So that he might grow, unfold, as does the bud unfold to show the flower. No language can describe a mother's worth. Be grateful to thy father, for he gave thee life, and to thy mother, for she sustained thee. Thus the mother is shown to be the matter. And in parentheses, the mater, the matrix. That's why Grand Goddess Lily told us that the women, all the councils be women, as it is she who has sustained thee. Thus the mother is shown to be the mater, the mater, the matrix, the physical substances both seen and unseen. In the physical universe, matter, matrix, matron, mother, physical universe, represents the womb or soil into which the seed of Allah is cast. This is why we use phrases such as Mother Nature and Mother Earth. Thus our Father is God. Allah, our Mother, is the physical material universe, as well as all other universes thereof.
He's talking from the G20.
Okay, well, do you want to turn it up?
Sure.
Well, turn it up. We're going to listen just because President Obama's talking. Oh, that's just the commitment to the U.S. deficit being cut in half.
That also is going to under...
Okay.
Okay, he's talking about cutting the U.S. deficit in half by 2013. So, I'll just say that that's good, number one. Number two, Nasara cancels all debt worldwide. So, that's just what's being said there for now. Okay, so, thus our Father is God, Allah, and our Mother is the physical material universe, Mother Nature, capital M, capital N. And that's why in nature and the law of nature and nature's God, the law of Mother and God's Mother.
Amen. That mama, the one.
Father, God, Mother. That's why, you know, they say that Sekhmet is both the consort of El Zion and his mother. That's correct.
Oh, my God.
His wife and his mother in the origins. That has nothing to do with sex, though. And having children with your mother when you're the son or something. No, 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 no. Two different dimensions we're talking about. You know, we're talking about hundredth dimension density with mother and father. Mother Nature comes from there when we speak here. On a universal and galactic level, the galaxies from a distance look like clouds of sperm, seeds, cast into the dark womb of Mother Space to bring forth worlds and solar systems. On a solar level, comets look like individual sperm, and the planets look like ovum. The comet sperm cell carrying genetic material collides into the planet, the ova ovum, and life comes forth, fertilization. Thus, the universe itself demonstrates why the Moors refer to God, Allah, as our Father, and the material universe as our Mother, out of Mother's Yoni. Mm-hmm. The Mazara, we are the star child. Every one of us. The condition of the soil determines to what degree the seed will unfold to reveal all of its godlike potentialities. The galaxies, the comets, etc., all representing aspects of the seeds of Allah, star children, are all manifest in the thoughts of Allah. Manifestations of the thoughts of Allah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. The word of Allah, Mother the All, and her expression from the keys of knowledge, of her expression in the form of the Adam Cadman. Designed from the keys of knowledge, spoken about as the keys of Enoch. That's who we really are. The thoughts of this great being have the ability to take on physical form, light, galaxies, comets, etc.
Mm-hmm.
The thoughts of Allah cast into the dark wombs, mansions of the universe, is bringing forth creation.
That is Alcyon.
This act of divine thinking is in fact creation itself. As a farmer, Allah prepares the soil, the yeah. dark womb of space, to receive his seed. You might say that the soil now would be the soil of, in this creation, the soil of our mother nature.
Right.
The soil of the nature of God would be what he would be preparing. That would mean how he was going to have his attitude when he plants the seed. You might say preparing his body out of that golden dust of the keys of the golden Enoch keys of our mind, our higher creative mind. And you know that the children were, they were conceived by the stars. Every child knew their mission. Every child knew their purpose. And every child knew how to find their twin flame. And it had everything to do with following the heart of Mother, which is the stars.
Yeah.
It is the heavens. It is that womb. And it is that out of that womb, the heart of Mother's creation is us. And so, as the farmer, Allah prepares the soil, the dark womb of space. In other words, his dark womb of space would be his own, let's see, the headlight for the male is the penis, the head of the penis.
Right.
And so that would mean that his second chakra would be his place of creation in terms of, you might say, his womb space of preparation. So he would do meditation and breathing and bring his belly, fill his belly with the breath of prana, literally. And actually bring it all the way down, all the way down. You can bring it all the way down into your hara, second chakra, right by the belly button. And prepare the whole creative center of that being and the intelligent mind of the stars be one with you, of Mother's womb space. Okay, so Allah prepares the soil to receive his seed. Prior to casting his seed to the earth, you might say that aspect of Alcyon, Allah, same thing. He tends to the soil, invests it in with nutrients, that which nourishes and sustains life, and pulls out any weeds, that which stifles and inhibits life and growth. He tills the soil. This is the active principle again a foreplay in order to prepare the soil to receive his seed. That's the womb of Divine Mother, his consort now. Yet, as any good farmer, Allah does not just leave the seed and soil alone and just allow whatever happens to happen. He patiently laboriously tends to and assists the soil and the seed, mother with child. This tending to the soil and the seed is the reason for the everlasting gospel, quote unquote. It is Allah tending to us, his seed, and the soil, the earth, via prophets, plural, to make sure all is growing well according to the divine plan, our divine intention. Remember, intentions can pave one's way to hell. Man-made law. Man did this, said that Moabite woman about her house being destroyed, about Hurricane Katrina. Man did this. To make sure all is growing, we are now setting our divine intention. The covenant of the great God Allah, quote, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may grow longer, may be longer upon the earth's land, which the Lord thy God, Allah, hath given thee. And of course, this Declaration of Independence does not honor anybody except white Anglo-Saxon men. Yes, the second declaration will match the one that's sitting there in its original manuscript in the vault. There are some William Penn writings in there, too. Lots of them that we don't have. Thus, Allah is our father and the mother, is the physical, material universe, the matrix, Ma, M-A. Salvation is the everlasting gospel or institution whose purpose is salvation and whose aim is deific life. Okay, that's the Unitarian Church is a institution. And they don't call themselves a Unitarian Church. They don't really. They call themselves a Unitarian, just a Unitarian. They call themselves deists. We just read that word. Where the aim and whose aim? Any institution whose purpose is salvation and whose aim is deific life, oneness with Allah and Source, Mother, Father and Mother. Salvation is as a farmer tending his seed, soil and crop to ensure a good harvest or intended result. Unity or oneness with Allah. The all is the source, again. And the ah is the golden knowledge, the sound of truth. Unity. Quote, as you have race pride and love your race, join the Moorish Science Temple of America. I'm going to say that we need to displace that because it would be human race. There's only one race, and it's not determined by the color of one's skin. That's very important. And that's why Grand Goddess Lily said that there has been some misuse and abuse based on racism in reverse, actually. Or even, you might say gender racism, or gender, how do you call it? I mean discrimination. Gender discrimination. Remember, there are some who gather only as male Moors, and they don't accept the female. This is a very, very healthy, holistic, completely understanding of the higher teachings here this Sunday morning call. And with the honoring now completely in the hands of the energy of the Divine Mother, and then the honoring by the men of her. So join and become a part of a divine movement, and this divine Moabite nation now movement for the present moment. Then you will have power to redeem yourself as a Moabite, as a Moor, as a one human race being. Principles of the Source. Because you will know who you are, and your forefathers were, because where there is unity, there is strength. And the unity and Unitarian teachings are these identical teachings. So here we go. A Moabite institution. Mm-hmm. And since all of our founding fathers, they were actually deists, Thomas Jefferson,
mm-hmm.
John Adams even though he was the worst alien and sedition act present. Together we stand, divided we fall. I love my people, and I desire their unity and mine back to their own free national and divine standard. Now we've got one divine standard, one Moabite nation. Through this Moabite nation and divine standards given to us and set up by the prophets, our right to self-determination cannot be denied or infringed upon according to the National Constitution of the United States of America under religious freedom. As aforementioned, and when we get Nasara law, that constitution for America in its original true state in 1787, as it is in its original state, brought up from those Bruton vaults. And that Nasara law also brought up from those Bruton vaults Declaration of Independence will match that as well. As aforementioned, under the constitutionality recognized, religious freedom, and again, the constitutionality recognized is not necessarily granted, you understand, it is recognized, and religious freedom, okay, so as aforementioned, and it needs to say inside, in the constitutionality recognized. Actually, the word under means under the thumb of the corporation.
It's supposed to be in the
constitutionally recognized religious freedom. We have full rights of self-determination regarding ourselves individually and as a nation. Religious freedom within the Constitution, the First Amendment, embraces not only the right to worship God according to the dictates of one's conscience, yet also the right to do or forbear to do any act for conscience' sake, the doing or forbearing of which is not inimical to peace. In other words, thwarting peace or good order or morals. And morals of the society. Our national and divine standard gives us, as Moabites, a set of standards around which we can unite. It is standard or standardized so that, regardless of where it is located in the nation, it has the exact same standards, it meaning the polity, the gathering, the deists, the Moabites, wherever they gather and call themselves a temple. This gives us something in common to unite around. Something in common is the foundation of unity. Some of our free national standards are our flag. And that brings me back. This morning, Lord Jamal pointed out that in that painting, by what's his name, Trumbull, of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. He said in that painting there were, in the background, and you have to get a magnifying glass, actually, there was a painting there of, he said, do you see the American flag anywhere? And he said, on this picture, as you get your magnifying glass, there's one red and white striped flag in the background, folded up. Then there is a red and white, two more flags. Anyway, then underneath the drum in the painting, there is a red flag. And that is the true Moabite Nation flag that is in the Smithsonian Institute. It only had a red background. There was no red and white stripes anywhere. And then Lord Jamal said, guess what? Those other red and white striped flags, they were British flags, representing the fact that in that painting, where all white faces were, and there wasn't any Moabite faces with their true complexion anywhere to be found, it was representing the British Empire of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And that the British Empire was completely put on the land with that phony Declaration of Independence. The Brits were ruling at the signing of this phony Declaration of Independence, everyone. So that is as clear as a bell that those Gruden vaults have been hidden for a reason, and let's get them up here now. Also, he said on the 4th of July, someone lied to say we got the Declaration of Independence on the 4th of July. You know, what? Bessie Ross flag? I don't think so. It's the big Ben Franklin flag that we're talking about. And there's the big Ben Franklin on the back of the $2 bill. It's a painting in the background of the wrong painting of the all-white-faced ones, the same Trumbull painting on that $2 bill. Ridiculous. And then you got to ask yourself, who was John Hancock, the president of the Second Constitutional Congress? Well, what in the world happened to the First Continental Congress? And John Hancock was labeled under the Second Continental Congress as the first governor of Massachusetts. And then Lord Jamal goes on and says Ben Franklin's son was the first governor of Massachusetts, a Moabite. Yes, with the color of cigar on his skin, everyone. We've got a lot to wake up to. Whew. So, Rama, you know, you could put in there, it would be great to look up who really was John Hancock and who really was Benjamin Franklin. And what? And look up and see if you can find any of his letters. Because that would be really cool, because I know we found it on there that they had uncovered 35 more letters from somewhere. I'll bet they were brought up from the vaults. I bet.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Beth asked earlier for me to explain what's in that real Declaration of Independence. The same thing that's in the Nasara Second Declaration of Independence, like I said, it will match that original manuscript in the Bruton Vaults. And it starts this way, the rights of women first, then the rights of children second, and all children, then the rights of man, then the rights of nature, including, and number one, the trees, and then all of nature, and then, actually, I forgot, right before that, I'm sorry, after the rights of man, then there's the rights of animals, and then the rights of nature, beginning with the tree beings, tree bearers. That's the way it's going to read, and it's in that order in the multi-charter as well, everyone. Start thinking with the heart, as Lord Jamal said. He said the same thing. Start thinking with the heart, and please stop worshiping false gods in those entertainment, infotainment centers we call churches. Absolutely. And as you care to step yourself in there, you better be willing to be, you know, you better be willing to be that William Penn and that true, that true signee, that true Moabite signee. The true Moabites, yes. And again, love, truth, this is what Lord Jamal said. Love, truth, peace, freedom, justice, seasoned with a little mercy. And he said that mercy is beauty. He defined how we come up with the number six in terms of those five principles. In other words, as we do this number five, seasoned with mercy, beauty comes again to our world. Isn't that aboriginal? That is a stellar perception of our being. Okay, so that was all for number one in terms of the Moabite Nation standard of our flag. The true flag is that red one that's underneath the drum in that painting, which doesn't show what's in the center of that flag. And that's the Moroccan flag, too. The Moroccan flag and the flag of the United States for America are both very unique, yet they symbolize the same principle of the Moabite nation, the Moroccan nation, the nation of Mu in its original state of purity. Our laws and rules and regulations pursuant to our divine constitution is number three. Pardon? Beth? What?
Sorry, Tara, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I thought I was muted.
Oh, I'm very sorry. No, I'll just say that. Okay, so our nation and divine standards, yes, as we unite again within our Supreme Grand Council. So we've got that Supreme Grand Council. What is it called again, Beth, and how many are on there?
Of my Grand
Council. It's the Matriarchal Council, and there are nine members.
Nine members, okay. And then what's the other one called? The
Matriarchal Court?
Yes.
And the Matriarchal Tribunal.
Okay, so the Matriarchal Court has five, is that right?
And I believe the Tribunal has five and the Court has 27 made up of men and women.
Okay, so the five matriarchal court represents love, truth, peace, freedom, justice, seasoned with mercy. That's what they represent. And the 27 council, which is called the, what did you say again? I got to get those separated out. Which one has five and which one has 27? What's that one called?
One is the tribunal and one is the court.
And the tribunal has...
I hope I'm saying this right. I believe the tribunal has five. And they are made up of people who are attorneys, however, not members of the British accredited registry, or they've studied law.
Okay, and then the other one is called the what again, the 27th?
That's the court. One is the court and one is the tribunal, and I may be mixing them up.
Either way, we'll figure out the truth in a moment. Okay, number five is the Holy Koran. Number six is our Friday meetings and Sunday school. That's from the past in terms of the Moorish temple, yet the Moorish temple science and from whence it's derived, the Moabite law, it comes from Noble Jerubi's teaching. So you might say the Sunday morning meetings instead of this, okay? And yes, the Holy Koran in its highest form. And I would really look up the knowledge book as it synthesizes from all three major religions and synthesizes it, and the vibration is brought up to the, you know, where the fundamentalist stuff is threaded out of all of this other behavior. Okay, so as we unite around these standards, they form a protective umbrella and a sanctuary through which we can find protection from the madness taking place in our midst and sure to come in the near future. I think it's sure to end now at this moment. This was written a while back. Protect and secure oneself, one's family, one's community by uniting into one planetary nation around one national and planetary one standard. Divine in nature. All men are one and equal, quote, all men are one and equal to seek their own destiny and to worship under their own vine and fig tree after the principles of the holy and divine laws of their forefathers. Every man needs to worship under his own vine and own fig tree. The seal represents the divine side of the nation and is called the Pyramid University System, aka the Mystery School System, is represented by that seal, the divine seal of the nation. The eagle represents the national side. The reason the pyramid is used on the divine side is because the pyramid symbolizes the Pyramid University System, which once formed a belt around the entire planet, Earth. In this Pyramid University System was taught the first creed of salvation on planet Earth. This system, which is sometimes referred to as the Mystery System, taught fallen humanity how to return to our original godlike state of spirit man, of perfection and oneness with Allah. I'm going to go here because of the time, and I'm going to tell you the rest of what's inside that Bruton vault before we have to go. On that note we just read there. And we say here again, the vault contains the key to the location of similar vaults in the various nations of Europe. It also contains and is the instructions, the maps, and all the documents that lead to 144 sacred burial sites, as well as vaults of certain forefathers, patriots, and early leaders of the country. that in turn contain original writings, diaries, journals, and documentation that will convey the ideology of our Christian, rosy-crossed, deist forefathers, and prove how history has been rewritten today to reflect the biased political views of certain elite leaders in this country and the world, to be honest, everyone. Because of Bacon's status as a high-ranking member of the Rosicrucians, he was known as the Rosicrucian, the writer of all those teachings, which are in those Bruton vaults, everyone, and the Freemasons, and he wrote all the teachings of all Freemasonry, the original ones that are in the Bruton vaults. The researchers believe the vault contains all these secret codes and diagrams and documents, including all these ancient writings that had been in the possession of the certain ones of the secret societies. One such artifact is the Book of Thoth, T-H-O-T-H, which has been retrieved from a golden box out of an inner sanctuary in an ancient Egyptian temple. It is connected to Hermes Trismegistus. We just read about Thoth, Hermes Trismegistus yesterday, the godfather of alchemy, and the Emerald Tablet is in there, the Tablet of Destiny, of which the ancient Hopi elders gave to the Dalai Lama in Santa Fe, city of holy faith, and the anchoring of galactic center on Earth called the New Jerusalem, the New Atlantis. Class is now in session. It reveals a formula that contains the seven transformations of alchemy that lead to an accelerated spiritual evolution. Ha! Known as the Sacred Torch, the most important document ever given to man, capital M as in mother's children, star child. It is believed that anyone who is able to decipher it will have their consciousness enhanced to the point that they will be able to see the invisible immortals and enter the presence of the superior God. Goddess, all that is. Hall wrote in his book, The Secret Teachings of All Ages, that the book was lost to the ancient world with the decay of the mysteries. Yet its faithful initiates carried its sealed to another land. The book is still in existence in the Bruton vaults. This is the other land. Yes, get ready for a song. Whatever material is inside this vault is contained in 33 custom-made, hermetically sealed copper containers to preserve its contents. According to Colin Dyer, in his book Symbolism in Craft Masonry, in 1804, Thomas Jefferson, the third president, was the last person to examine the contents of this vault. Holy tornado. He entered the vault. If anybody is that returned being, it is Tom Hartman, everybody. He knows everything. He's in a reincarnation of Thomas Jefferson in present time. We had another one. Remember, there's more than one. There's at least 17 of us in any incarnation. So we also know another one, and the dark side took him out. He was the head of the You might say the Porpoise Fund in 1990 when it began, which was, you know, it was Saint Germain's fund. And that's the fund of the White Knights, the fund of the King of Swords and Lady Nada and Dodi and Dai and Queen Nord, all of the wealthy visionaries and all of us, the awakened ones. Are we awake yet? Hello. However, where was I? He entered the vault through the well behind the George White House. W-Y-T-H-E. The George White House. I wonder where that is. We got to go look that up.
Oh.
Look up the George White House. Where is it? W-Y-T-H-E.
George Washington White House? Or?
No, just look up the George White House. And where is the entrance to the Bruton Vault? Through the wall. Yeah.
Yeah. We've come to the end. I believe it because it went so fast.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean we have to go at 2:05?
That's right.
We have to go in 30 seconds.
All right,
we have to. We should say goodnight to everybody.
Good night, good night, everyone. Thank you for your attention today.
Here's a song to go out with.
Okay, good night. Hurry up.
Thank you, everybody. Namaste.
Oops.
See you.
It got removed. Okay. Oh, my God.
Turn it off.
It's going.
Walking through a dream, I see you. By the light in darkness, breathing hope of new light. Now I live through you, watching through me, enchanted. I pray in my heart that this dream ever